This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Well, guys, the topics for this week sure are bogus.
Yeah.
Bogus, is it up there? Oh!
That was for you, Louie.
We miss you, Louie. You're a legend.
Show me flexible sigmoidoscope!
This is It Was a Thing on TV.
Colonel Redbird has ever done something like this to me!
It's a...
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you... The Dregs of Humanity!
Episode 235, submission number 678... Mr. Bogus! We apologize in advance, just saying. Mr.
Oh,
Bogus
oh,
aired
really?
In...
You're going to apologize for Mr. Bogus?
Trust me, once we get into this, everybody's going to be apologetic. Mr. Bogus aired in syndication from September 28th of 1991 to November 22nd of 1993... For three seasons?
What?
How did three? How did they get three seasons out of
it? Get out of here.
How did this piece of shit get three seasons?
Get out of here.
Thankfully, only 43 episodes.
Oh, thank
And already I have to break out the censor button. Great.
Cause it's time for Mr. Bogus to come out and play.
He's wild.
Wild.
He's cool. Ooh. He's bogus. He's a secret friend and he loves to play.
It's that awesome, bodacious, bogus time of day. Mr. Bogus, come on.
Let's play.
Mr. Bogus has come out.
Guys, I don't even know where the heck to start off this episode.
Well, I know where we could start off. In Europe. In 1987, Michel Durieux and Jelaine Honoré created a bright yellow claymation stop-motion character that they called Bogus. And if you've ever seen the Teeny Little Super Guy shorts from Sesame Street, it was kind of like that.
Okay.
Yeah, they were produced by Antenna 2, YC Alligator Film, and Chin Chin Production for French and Belgian television. They first aired on October 30th, 1987, and re-ran until February 1990. Did you know there were 300 shorts created of the original Bogus?
I feel like the Belgians and French should apologize to us. 300.
300.
300.
Oh, God.
From the country that gave us the Smurfs.
Well, one of. That being
one
Belgium.
Of the countries that gave us the Smurfs.
Yeah. Thank you, Peo. You're a legend, too.
Yes. Peter Keefe, much like he did back in 1984, when he spliced the entirety of Go Lion and Direcker 15 into what we know as Voltron, took 42 of these shorts and created an animated series. But they weren't going to use the shorts for the entirety of the series. They were going to create a brand new series, specifically for American television. So they have the TV series for American television. They got the backing of Channel 4 and the Children's Channel in the UK. And Zodiac Entertainment with Tom Burton and Claudia Burton executive producing.
Did you say Zodiac Entertainment, Chico?
I said Zodiac Entertainment, Greg.
Was that run by Brutus Beefcake?
Yes, no, no, yes, no.
Seriously, I thought you were going to say, is it run by Ed Begley Jr.'s character on The Cool Kids? I really thought you were going to go there. Well,
who knows? Maybe Ed Begley Jr. has Brutus Beefcake as his companion in his tortoise. That is now canon. Maybe if anyone wants to, like, a haircut in the tortoise, Brutus Beefcake can use his scissors to cut the hair.
I've seen his scissors. No thank you.
Hey, maybe Frank Reynolds used his scissors on Rudy Giuliani.
The Chinese.
Along with that Chinese motor oil.
With the hair dye at the hotel.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Peter Keefe took all 300 original animation shorts and used 42 of them. And the rest of the show was padded out by a traditional Cell animated adventure in the style of what would be popular at the time, which is main character, but not the main character. I mean, we hear a lot of Mr. Bogus, but we don't hear a lot of Mr. Bogus. We see a lot of side characters, and then shenanigans ensues, and then, yeah. So who did they get to bring Mr. Bogus to America? Only a murderer's row of the best voice talent available at the time. I hope you guys are ready here.
I am hanging on the edge of my seat.
Okay, here we go. We have Jim Winnie the Pooh Cummings.
Oh.
Tress Dot Warner McNeil.
Oh.
Russi Minnie Mouse Taylor.
Oh.
Neil Press Your Luck Ross.
No.
Pat, too many to mention, Fraley. Jeannie, also too many to mention, Elias. Brian, Let's Make a Deal Cummings. And playing the role of Mr. Bogus himself, the voice of Leonardo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Cam Clark.
Wow.
You know, it sounds like Greg was in more and more pain with each different credit you said.
Each name, it's like, these are like some of the best voice talents in the world.
Like, yeah.
What are they doing in this?
Hey. Voice talent's got to eat, too, you know.
Voice talents could also pick better roles, but yeah, you're right. Money's money.
And for three seasons, this was World Events Productions licensed to print money.
Yeah, they got to eat, too.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, they were able to take already pre-existing material, combine it with new material, and export it all over the world, as Mike actually discovered in his research for this episode.
Oh, did they, like, send this all over the place? Just really quickly, some places where it aired. It aired in the UK on Channel 4, big network over in the UK. On the Welsh language channel S4C in Wales. It aired in the United States on Toonterama?
Yeah, it's Toonterama.
Toonterama!
It was an animated children's block for what was once Telefutura, but it is now Unimas, so, yeah.
Okay.
What was that name again?
Telefutur.
Telefutur.
Telefutura. Máxima diversión.
Telefutura.
Telefutura.
And it aired on TV Globo in Brazil, TVN in Chile, ANT1 in Greece, Arutz Hayeladim in Israel, Max in Australia, Fun Channel in the Middle East, Mnet in South Africa, Bahrain 55 in Bahrain, TV2 in New Zealand, ABS-CBN in the Philippines, Channel 5 in Singapore, Channel 2 in Jordan, Dubai 33 in the United Arab Emirates, Canal J in France, and Tele 3 and TVP 3 in Poland. on Cable 1 in Germany, NBC, C&I in South Korea, TV3 in Sweden, PTV4 in Finland, Saudi 2 in Saudi Arabia, TV3 in Malaysia, and last but not least, TV6 in Russia. That's a lot of places. And actually, with all the different places, he had different names. And some of these names, they made us chuckle a little bit. On Spanish television, he was El Señor Bogus. Don't ask. In Wales, he was Mr. Bogle. In Israel, he was Mr. Bluffer. I don't know if that implied that he lied a lot or if that's just a translation or a very rough translation. In French, he was Monsieur Bogus, as you might expect. In Portuguese, he is Senhor Bogus. And my favorite of all, in Norway, he was Herr Humbug. There's no word for bogus. He's just Herr Humbug.
And in Korea, apparently, he was Bogyo Sunyun Nai Kingu.
I'll take your word for that one.
Okay.
Any word on that Korean translation, Chico?
Bogus is my friend. That is bogus.
Bogus is my friend?
Bogyo Sunyun Nai Kingu.
Bogus is my friend.
Bogus is my friend.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry I asked.
Well, you learned something.
He'll always be Herr Humbug to me. Or Mr. Bluffer.
Not to be confused with Mr. Bucket.
No, oh no, that's one of our favorite games from our respective childhoods. No.
No, Mr. Bucket, you put the balls in his mouth.
That's right. I'm Mr. Bucket. Mr. Bucket, put your balls in my mouth. Mr. Bucket, put your balls in my head. Mr. Bucket, I'ma spit them on out. Mr. Bucket, tons of fun. Mr. Bucket, put your balls in my mouth. Mr. Bucket, let me suck on them balls. Mr. Bucket, put your balls in my head. Mr. Bucket, buckets of fun.
But I need to add this, and I have to try and say those with a straight face.
What?
Hey, guys, the ghost of Paul Lind here. Did somebody say something about balls in a mouth?
Oh, get out of here, Paul! Get out!
Damn it, Paul, get out of here!
And Paul, do not sleep on the craps table. Please stop doing that.
Okay, so we haven't gotten around to the episodes, and there's a really good reason for that. You remember back on, I want to say it was episode 82, back in 2020, we did a show called Blind Justice.
Yes.
Damn near wrecked us all.
Oh, it did wreck us all. Not even Rena Sofer could save it for us.
Yeah. Well, not even Rena Sofer was available to save us from this. This pretty much damn near wrecked us all.
Wait, what am I talking about? Rena Sofer couldn't even save us from Coupling US. So...
Rena Sofer, unfortunately, can't save us from anything.
She couldn't save Hawaii from Zach Morris.
Zach Morris is trash!
We're just going to do a very brief rundown of all 43 episodes here.
And believe it or not, I can't believe this is actually a sentence in the English language. There is a wiki devoted to Mr. Bogus.
Are you kidding me?
What?
I'm not kidding you. There's a wiki devoted to Mr. Bogus. It doesn't even have a complete episode guide.
Even, like, they're like, nah.
It's not really a wiki. It's a wikia, but it's a fandom.com page devoted to Mr. Bogus. It's got all the first season episodes, 8 of the second season episodes, the first 8 episodes, as a matter of fact, and just the first 2 episodes of season 3. Whoever wrote the guide's like, nope, I'm done. Season 3, 2 episodes. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. Episode 1, Meet Mr. Bogus.
Basically, it's what it sounds like it is. Here's your introduction, your premiere episode. Here's our main character, and here's the wacky, goofy world he lives in.
Yep, including his enemy, Ratty, and Ratty's partner, Molly.
You know what? I don't want to meet any of these people. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ratty's played by Jim Cummings, and Moley's played by Pat Fraley.
What unimaginative names, Ratty and Moley.
Ratty and Moley. And the world that Mr. Bogus lives in is basically the house of the suburban family. You're going to love this. Their name is the Anybody family.
Oh, God damn.
That takes a lot of creativity.
Really stretching your brain cells.
They couldn't come up with a name. They just put Anybody. They probably just wrote Anybody and they were like, ah, that looks good. We'll just use it.
It looks good.
Looks good.
Looks good.
Looks good.
Looks good. Oh, it looks good. Looks good.
Oh, it looks good.
Looks good.
Oh, it looks good.
Looks good.
Oh, it looks good.
Looks good.
Oh, it looks good.
Looks good.
I would say it looks more like adequate than good. Looks adequate. Mr. and Mrs. Anybody. Oh, my God.
So Mrs. Anybody has lost the diamond on her ring. Ratty and Moley are trying to find the diamond. And Bogus has to find the diamond before Ratty and Moley do. For, you know, reasons. You know, reasons.
Sure.
Episode 2. Class Clown Bogus. We see a day in the life of Bogus as he ventures out of the Anybody house and goes to school with Tommy Anybody.
No, wait a second. Yeah, Tommy Anybody. We don't get a first name on the mom and dad, but we know the kid is named Tommy Anybody.
Mm-hmm. What an embarrassment for this kid. He's named Tommy Anybody. How's this kid going to get dates when he goes into high school?
I'm worried about what's going to happen when he meets the love of his life and she looks at her ring and says, I can't believe I'm going to be Mrs. Tommy Anybody.
It's better than Mrs. Bogus, I'll tell you that. Well, taking a look, again, live research, it looks like Tommy Anybody, there may be a valid reason why he has a name, because he's the only human who knows of Mr. Bogus's existence.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he's got a name, and Mr. and Mrs. Anybody are just generic names. Makes sense.
It does. Episode 3, A Day at the Office. By the way, all of these episodes are written by Michael Moore, so.
Oh, so we blame him, okay.
Yeah.
Not the heavyweight boxing champ.
No. We take a look at Mr. Bogus as he infiltrates the office of Mr. Anybody.
Mr. Bogus invades the office of Mr. Anybody. Amazing.
It is indeed amazing. And of course, he has to thwart the likes of Ratty and Moley while keeping Mr. Anybody out of trouble. Trouble that Mr. Bogus put him in the first place.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Bogus.
Episode 4. A2 Bratis. And Bogus is swimming in the bird bath. We're back at the house now. We have pizza. And we meet a bully. So, Bogus has to help out the family dealing with Bratis, who is a bully.
Well, also we should add that Bratis is a younger cousin of Mr. Bogus's.
And judging by his name, Bratis is a brat who likes nothing more than going around and causing trouble, much to Bogus's annoyance. He's a young kid with an appetite as big as his older cousins. Even though Bratis may seem bratty and insensitive, he's often shown himself to be loyal to Bogus in the line of duty. But the way you can tell Bogus from Bratis, Bratis has red-orange hair and a shirt with a green B on it.
And he's also about an inch shorter than Mr. Bogus.
Mm-hmm. Episode 5, Shop Around the Clock. Basically, Bogus goes shopping with Mrs. Anybody.
Mr. Bogus going shopping. What could go wrong?
And Mr. Bogus has to thwart the likes of Butch and Jake, who are the same people who are trying to steal Mrs. Anybody's diamond back in episode 1.
Now, Greg, you're wondering what could go wrong when Mr. Bogus goes shopping with Mrs. Anybody?
Yes.
Oh, probably nothing. It's probably not as bad as Matt Vasgersian saying, "What's a heifer?"
Think about a heifer having a hysterical time in a comedy club. What is a heifer?
Hey, it would have happened in 1991 as well. So look at that. Two amazing supermarket episodes happened in 1991. Mr. Bogus went shopping with Miss Anybody, and Matt Vasgersian yelled, "What's a heifer?" during the bonus sweep.
Hey, Matt Vasgersian is going to be broadcasting for the Angels this year. You think he's going to say, "What's a heifer?" during an Angels game this year?
Oh, you better believe my butt's going to a Guardians game when the Angels are broadcasting and he does one of their games. I'm going to the press box, and I'm going to yell to Vasgersian, "Hey, Vasgersian, it's 31 years later. What's a heifer?"
Okay.
And he'll probably be like, "You're the first person in 31 years who's actually referenced that. Are you some sort of freak?" And I'll be like, "You damn right I am. We use your sound effect on our stupid little podcast."
And Matt, if you're listening, I'm sorry you had that awkward encounter in the limo with Vince after that one XFL game.
Next episode, please. Beach Blanket Bogus. Bogus and Tommy are at the beach along with Braddus, and shenanigans ensues.
This is so stupid.
It is stupid.
These are like the simplest plots. They go to the beach and hilarity ensues. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Like, we didn't know that.
No shit. Of course hilarity's gonna ensue. It's not gonna be funny, but still.
Oh, yeah. We could probably suss out the rest of these just by looking at the names. In fact, I'm probably gonna end up doing that from here.
Yeah, especially since I think the episode guide, depending on what you're looking at, is highly incomplete.
Okay.
Yeah, just read the titles.
Episode 7. Bogus in Wilderland. Bogus and Braddus go on a picnic with the Anybody's. Hilarity ensues.
My ass hilarity ensues.
Let me try this one. Episode 8. No snooze is good news. Does hilarity ensue when either he has like insomnia or something like that? I'm just like throwing darts at the wall right now.
I know. He's basically, yeah, Bogus starts dreaming. Hilarity ensues.
Is that in every title, every description? Hilarity ensues.
It is on this show. Episode 9, Hipster Tripster.
Oh no, Hipster Tripster.
Yeah.
Mr. Bogus goes to get avocado toast. Hilarity ensues.
No. No.
Obviously, avocado toast wasn't a thing in 1991, or at least it probably wasn't. But still,
we can
just create our own episodes at this point.
You know, Mr. Bogus goes with Tommy to the zoo. Hilarity ensues.
Don't say we're not informational and educational. Avocado toast looks like it was invented in 1993, though that's debatable. Some people say it was invented in the 70s. Some say it was invented before then.
Episode 10, Museum Madness. Mr. Bogus goes with Tommy to the museum. Hilarity ensues. Especially the Natural History Museum, which is ripe for hilarity.
Was Mr. Bogus chased by a dinosaur?
No, this isn't How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, that's next week. We'll be talking about How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this one. Episode 11, Lice Camera Bogus. It looks like they go to a studio tour, and guess what happens?
Hilarity ensues?
More or less. Oh my gosh.
Oh, jeez. Episode 12, Bogus in Bogusland.
Now don't tell me they go to a foreign land and hilarity ensues.
They do not go to a foreign land where hilarity ensues. Bogus and Bradus go through the mirror and wind up in their home dimension, where hilarity ensues.
Oh, they don't go to their own land. They go to a different dimension in hilarity.
Well, the Boguses are from a different dimension.
Yeah, damn right
they are. Wait, they're from a different dimension?
They're from a different dimension. You think this sort of crap happens in our dimension? No. Bogus and Bradus and Aunt Bogunda are from a different dimension.
Well, that makes sense because they look terrible. Nothing in this dimension would look like that.
Nope. Episode 13, the season finale, Good Sport Bogus. Mr. Anybody and Tommy Anybody visit an Olympic stadium, which would be in 1991, 1992.
So 1992. That was Barcelona.
Yeah.
They go to Barcelona, hilarity ensues.
They go to Barcelona, hilarity ensues.
And... you know what hilarity ensued at the 1992 Summer Olympics?
The did it involve the Angolan basketball team?
Yes, it did.
I was hoping, actually, some of the hilarity would involve Mr. Bogus tying, like, Charles Barkley's shoelaces together. That's terrible.
Yeah. That's terrible.
That's terrible.
And that was season one.
Oh, and we just had to have more.
Oh, yeah.
Clamoring for a second season.
Who demanded more?
Somebody. It's the early 90s. Everything is ripe for everything in the world of syndication.
Oh, that's true. Syndication, they'll air any old crap.
This is the same syndication that gave us three seasons of My Secret Identity.
Well, syndication also is what gave us Future Entry. What a country.
But that only got one season.
Yeah, it only did get one season, but you know what? It was one season too much.
Yeah, but we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Let's go into season two, shall we?
Hey, wait a second. It was like 1987. America loved Yakov Smirnoff.
They did, but not much to get a second season.
Oh, gosh. What hilarity ensues in season two?
Episode one, Computer Intruder. It begins in space.
Ooh.
I'm escaping to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism. Space!
Yeah, about that. It's just a computer game on Tommy's computer.
Oh.
Guess what happens to Bogus?
Oh, hilarity's gonna ensue?
He goes into the computer with hilarity ensues with Bogetta and his Aunt Bogunda. Huh? And this is also the first appearance of Bogus's other enemy from the Bogus universe, Bradus.
Bradus?
Not badass.
Bradus. Bradus, is he related to the wrestler Brackus?
Oh, God. Oh, dear God. And, of course, Bradus teams up with Ratty and Molly to get the best of Bogus. Episode 2. Babysitting Bogus. Bogus and Bradus, well, Bogus mostly, is babysitting... And hilarity ensues with a bulldog.
Hilarity ensues with a bulldog.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Actually, it's a teenage girl that's babysitting a baby.
Baby anybody?
Baby anybody.
And hilarity does still ensue.
This is so confusing. Episode 3. Bogunda, Bogetta, and Bogus. Butch and Jake plan to break into the Anybody residence and steal whatever they can find, while Bogus tries to stop them with the help of his cousin Bogetta and his aunt Bogunda.
And let me guess, hilarity ensues.
Hilarity does indeed ensue. Episode 4, Bookstore Bogus. Bogus and Tommy go to a bookstore to find books worth reading. And interestingly enough, there is a name check of the Man in the Iron Mask by Alexandre Dumas. Hilarity ensues while Bogus is reading it. Episode 5, Bad Luck Bogus. Bradus warns Bogus that a broken mirror results in 7 years bad luck.
Oh, really? They should have warned us before they came up with the idea of this show.
Yeah. This is right after he came from the mirror. So, yeah. Hilarity ensues while Bogus is totally cursed. Episode 6, Totally Bogus Video.
Oh, no, that doesn't sound like something that aired on Fox at that time.
Oh, no.
Bogus is trapped inside of a video store. Hilarity ensues.
Oh, darn. I was hoping you were going to say he was going to be trapped on a second-rate America's Funniest Home Videos type show, and hilarity ensued. R.I.P. Bob Saget.
Oh, we'll have plenty to say about Bob next week.
Next up, Bogus Private Eye. Bogus Private Eye. Bogus and Bradus are playing detective, trying to find out what a pair of weasel mobsters are up to.
And let me guess. Hilarity ensues?
Yes. And the thing of it is, they do have help from Kevin the Bulldog.
Who the hell's Kevin the Bulldog?
He's the bulldog that has antagonized Bogus.
Oh, okay.
Episode 8, Bogus to the Rescue. There's trouble in Bogus Land as Bradus and his meteor goons wreak havoc in the illustrious town of Bogeytown.
Bogeytown?
Now it's up to Bogus to save the day.
What an unimaginative name. Bogeytown. That's the town you go if you have bogeys and golf.
And the rest of the episodes in this season don't have any synopsis anywhere on this internet.
Well, let me guess. Hilarity ensues in all of them.
Yep.
Yeah, let's speculate.
Yes, let's see. Number 9, Mr. Bogus Mondo Funno Sci-Fi Fab Feast.
Let me guess, Mr. Bogus goes to a planet in outer space, and hilarity ensues.
Either that or a sci-fi con.
I actually thought it might be like a chemistry laboratory or something. Hilarity can ensue there, mix the wrong chemicals, boom.
Episode 10, Terror Tot in Bogus Land.
Terror, okay, I'm sorry, I had a premonition as to what this is about, but there's a different definition here. Okay.
Terror Tot in Bogus Land. The Boguses have to find a baby in Bogus Land.
Stupid me thought they were talking about a tater tot. What's a terror tot? A really bad tater tot?
After about five minutes, yeah.
And hilarity still ensues. Oh my gosh.
Episode 11, Roam Away From Home. Your guess is as good as mine on that, but I'm guessing somebody runs away. And Bogus runs away with them.
And of course, hilarity ensues.
Episode 12, Bus Boy Bogus.
Let me guess. Mr. Bogus becomes a waiter. And hilarity ensues.
Thank you.
I wonder if Mr. Bogus met, because it's Busboy Bogus, I wonder if Mr. Bogus met Vigilante. And then afterwards, Mr. Bogus witnessed Vigilante doing his celebration that Peacemaker came back. And then he had to fake it by saying that he got his girlfriend pregnant, and they're going to celebrate by having an abortion.
God, Greg!
Did you just spoil the first episode of Peacemaker?
I only spoiled the part where Vigilante was celebrating that Peacemaker came back.
Oh my gosh.
And the final episode of this. Springtime for Bogus.
Oh, no! No, don't tell me Mr. Bogus is doing a reenactment of Springtime for Hitler from the producers.
There is nothing on this episode.
But let me guess, if he did do a reenactment of Springtime for Hitler from the producers, I guarantee you this, hilarity ensues.
I would imagine so.
I'm sorry, that's the first time in recorded history we've ever used the words hilarity and Hitler in the same sentence.
Well, they tried with... What was that Hitler pilot, sitcom pilot? Heil, honey, I'm home.
Yeah. I don't think it was a pilot. I thought it aired for like, well, they made like eight episodes.
Heil, honey, I'm home aired one episode, and then they just washed their hands of the
They're
whole
like,
thing.
Nope.
But they did like make eight episodes, I think, and they do exist in some capacity.
Well, who cares?
Oh, who cares? Next episode is season 3, Nightmare on Bogus Street. In the Anybody reference.
Don't you mean the Anybody residence, Chico?
Bogus is making himself into a werewolf. Or he's making a werewolf. And that he and Bradus have to pursue and capture said werewolf. Yeah.
Hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues.
Hilarity with a werewolf.
Episode 2, BTV. I'm guessing Mr. Anybody is coming home watching TV, and Tommy is pulled by Mr. Bogus to watch TV with him, even if it means going inside Tommy's computer. And then there's the rest of the episodes.
Yeah, we'll go through them quickly. Just at least for the titles and the pure speculation that we can do.
Okay. Waterboy Bogus.
Boy, I wonder if he's a waterboy for a football team and hilarity ensues.
Kung Fu Campout.
Oh, that's got to be a good one. Kung Fu and camping and hilarity.
There's a campout. Mr. Bogus does Kung Fu and hilarity ensues.
Battle Action Bogus.
There's a new toy. And Mr. Bogus plays with it, and hilarity ensues.
Secret Agent Bogus.
Oh, Mr. Bogus thinks that he's a secret agent like James Bond, and hilarity ensues.
Super Bogus flies again.
Oh, Mr. Bogus thinks he's Superman. Hilarity ensues.
Is there a Bogus in the house?
Mr. Bogus plays the doctor, and hilarity ensues.
The Bogus Invasion.
There's an invasion of boguses from whatever land Mr. Bogus is from.
Bogus land! Come on, everything's bogus!
And hilarity ensues.
Oh my God.
Fun Park Follies.
Oh, Mr. Bogus goes to a theme park, and hilarity ensues.
Buff Tough Bogey.
I got this one. Mr. Bogus visits his good friend Alex Guerrero for some medication. And hilarity ensues.
I was going to say Mr. Bogus meets Buff Bagwell, and hilarity ensues.
Oh no, Buff Tough is muscular. He gets bulked up from Alex Guerrero.
Once upon a bogus time.
Mr. Bogus goes to Mother Goose Land, and he accidentally eats all the porridge in Three Bears' houses. I have no idea.
And then Mr. Bogus runs into Happy from Rudolph's Shiny New Year, and hilarity ensues.
Brainy Bogus.
Mr. Bogus has a high IQ now. He's now become the smartest creature on the planet, and hilarity ensues.
Mr. Bogus goes on Jeopardy. That's it. Hilarity ensues.
But then he wagers 22,000 big ones. And hilarity ensues.
22,000 big ones?
Who are three people who've never been at Mr. Bogus's?
Megastar Madness.
Hold on! Don't trample on my joke! Who are three people who've never been at Mr. Bogus's kitchen?
Do that again.
I can't! Who are three people who've never been at Mr.
This is all staying in, by the way.
Oh, yeah, this is.
Who are three people who've never been in Mr. Bogus's kitchen?
Totally bogus daydream.
No, you forgot Megastar Madness.
No, I said Megastar Madness and you laughed through it.
All right, what's Megastar Madness? Mr. Bogus thinks he's a megastar and hilarity ensues?
Or meets a
Mr.
megastar.
Bogus travels to Mr. Bogus travels into the future to 2002, tries out for American Idol, hilarity ensues.
Mr. Bogus, you are just dreadful.
Oh, jeez. Totally okay. Bogus daydream.
Apparently, Mr. Bogus got into Mr. Anybody's stash of drugs and hilarity ensued.
Baseball bogey. Self-explanatory.
Mr. Bogey gets drafted by the expansion Florida Marlins and hilarity ensues.
And the final episode... Hospital play.
The people who've watched Mr. Bogus for the last three seasons need to go to the hospital and get their heads checked.
Hey, I want, since Mike, you mentioned the baseball episode is Mr. Bogus plays for the Florida Marlins, are we going to get cameos from Charlie Huff and Orestes Estrada? Never thought you'd ever hear an Orestes Estrada mention on this podcast.
Well, guys, believe it or not, I'm not even joking. We can realistically get a whole episode guide out of this. We could. We could, because taking a look at our good friend YouTube, one brave soul, not even joking, has uploaded most of the episodes. Yeah, so if you really want to watch this crap, it's on YouTube. It looks like all 13 episodes from season one are on YouTube. For season two, it looks like 10 of the episodes have been uploaded. It looks like 1 through 9 and then number 12. It says Bug Boy Bogus. I think that's supposed to be Bus Boy Bogus for episode 12. But Bug Boy Bogus, we can make our own little jokes about that too. For season three, it looks like 14 of the 16 episodes have been uploaded. Looks like you can't get number 6 and number 9. Boy, how appropriate. 6 and 9 in season 3. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, you can't really watch it unless you have a working knowledge of the foreign language in which it is uploaded.
Yeah, it's Russian because it says TB6. I'm guessing that's TV6. And it says Moscow in Cyrillic. So if you know you're Russian, you should be rushing down to YouTube to see these stupid episodes. Did I really make a pun? You should be rushing down to see the episodes?
Yeah.
The silence is deafening. Okay. But yeah, they're there. Heaven help you if you want to see it. But yeah, like 90% of the episodes are on YouTube. Craig Holmes, you're a much braver person than all three of us combined.
Well, what can we say about Mr. Bogus except it was...
Hilarity ensued.
Hilarity ensued. It was zany enough for syndication... And it was zany enough to give us this thing on TV.
And in case we didn't mention it earlier, we all didn't last more than like 10 minutes into the first episode.
Yeah.
As we said, this is in like rare territory with Blind Justice.
You introduced me to this. Like maybe this may be like one of the very first things when we came up with the podcast back in 2019. Somewhere around late 2019, either November or December, you introduced me to Mr. Bogus, Mike. And I said, Mike, this is the f***ing stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I have no regrets.
I'm sure you do not.
Oh, anyway. I think the only thing we regret is all the time we lost trying to watch this, all those 10 or 15 minutes.
All I can say is, an attempt was made.
But you know what happened as a result of this episode, guys?
What's that?
Hilarity ensued.
Oh, you know what? Just for that, I'm giving you an eBay prices right, Mr.
Oh, no! No!
All right, so I have an animation cell from Mr. Bogus. It has a picture of Bogus and Tommy. They were used to create the actual show. Comes with a certificate of authenticity. It is slightly used. And I'm looking for dollars and cents for the buy it now price. I'm thinking of a number. The number is 12. Greg, you go first.
Can you describe this cell for me?
Oh, it is Bogus. No, it's Brad. I'm sorry. It's Bradus. Yeah, it's Bradus and Tommy.
Oh, dear God.
And apparently he ships from Hope Mills, which is like half an hour away from my house.
It looks like his crack is hanging out.
It does.
It does. It does indeed look like his crack is hanging out.
That's an accurate description of me in third grade. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
At this point, we're simply entertaining ourselves, folks.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got this mental image of Greg in third grade with his ass hanging out.
All right. I'm just going to say $20 because I'm not paying more than $20 on this. I wouldn't pay more than $10 on this, but I'm going with $20.
Okay, he's going $20. Mike?
Okay, I want you guys to see this. This is an old prescription bottle filled with change.
Yeah.
This is my bid.
He's counting his change, guys.
He's counting his change.
1 cent, 2 cents, 3 cents. Oh, hell with it. $25.
You are both over.
No!
No!
Okay, Greg, lower than $20.
$5.
Mike.
Oh, it's gotta be at least 501. I'll give Greg some room. I'm gonna hang myself by my own petard. I'm going $6, and I don't know why I'm saying it.
The actual price. Oh God, I didn't think we could get worse than Photon last week. The actual price. $14.99.
Not with my money.
For that money, you're going to have to drive from Hope Mills to my house, okay? I'm not paying for shipping to get that.
Hey, you know, actually, if I could pay $14.99 for a drawing of Freddy Freaker with his ass hanging out, I'd do it.
$2 a call.
$14.99 a sell.
This seller actually has a whole lot of cells.
Are you talking about from this show or just in general?
This show.
Oh, God, why?
Greg asked the perfect question.
I see. Oh, that's just horrible. It's a picture of Bogus as a Native American.
No!
Bogus likes disguises, folks.
And unfortunately, hilarity ensued. Racially insensitive hilarity ensued. Oh, no.
Hey, guys. It's time for an edition of It Was a Thing on TV Haiku Corner.
Yes, I need a palate cleanser.
We need something to soothe ourselves.
We need to calm ourselves down here.
Okay.
This will save the episode.
Okay. This is going to save the There is no saving this episode. Okay. I'm sorry.
Here we go.
So calming.
Yeah. Oh, this will soothe us after having to deal with Mr. Bogus and his hilarity ensuing. Okay. Are you ready for this, guys?
I'm ready for this.
Yeah, the music's on.
All right, here we go. Mr. Bogus Show. God, oh dear Lord, oh Jesus, this is so bogus.
Oh my God.
Also, hilarity ensues.
Oh my gosh.
Wow! Hilarity ensues.
Bogus.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Smith. You might know me for my shows on the PlayStation Wrestling Network, as well as the North-South Connection podcast feed. You maybe didn't know that I have my own podcast feed. It's called The Jenny Position. Right now, I'm looking for new talent to add to the roster. Have you always wanted to start a podcast? Do you have a current podcast? Maybe you're looking for a home? Pitch me your ideas. Shoot me a message on the Facebook page, The Jenny Position. You can find me on Twitter as well, at Jenny Position. Shoot me a DM. I'm looking for people who are committed, on time, fun, entertaining, with a unique voice and a real passion for podcasting. So let me know if you want to join the podcast world in The Jenny Position. Joining such great shows as You Heard About Pluto, Hot Tokes, Bianca's First Time, Talkin' Pop, and many awesome shows you can find on The Jenny Position.
Warning, in this episode, you're going to be hearing a lot of this.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa.
There's going to be a lot of whoa-ing going on.
Whoa!
That was just an explanation. I didn't need you guys to say whoa.
Whoa, whoa.
Episode 236, submission number 2156, Brotherly Love.
Whoa.
Now follow me here. Brotherly Love aired on NBC from September 16th, 1995 to April 1st, 1996, and then aired on the WB from September 15th, 1996 until May 18th, 1997. For a grand total of 40 episodes over two seasons on two networks.
Whoa.
Whoa.
So Joey Lawrence was just coming off of a good 4 or 5 seasons playing the overly energetic elder brother of Blossom.
Yeah.
Matthew Lawrence was coming off of one season playing the hero on Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Whoa.
And Andrew Lawrence was coming off of, well, not doing much. Well, actually, that's not true. He played in one season of Tom.
Tom?
That's a future entry. It's basically a star vehicle for Tom Arnold.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was after the Jackie Thomas show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Suffice it to say, it only lasted 11 episodes.
Whoa.
So all of the Lawrence brothers are all looking for a new vehicle. So Jim Ballily and Jonathan Schmock may be teamed up with Paul Junger-Witt and Tony Thomas and came up with a brilliant idea. Why not have Joey Lawrence in his own vehicle with both of his brothers?
Whoa.
So deals were made, casts were cast, scripts were written and produced, and Brotherly Love was born. Brotherly Love tells the story of Joe Roman, who's a mechanic, who finds out that he is now born the responsibility of taking care of his two half-brothers, thanks to his stepmother.
Whoa.
Three guesses who his two half-brothers are played by.
Who are they played by?
Let's just say one is named Matt, and another is named Andy.
Huh.
Whoa.
And together, they go through the trials and tribulations of brotherhood, family life, adulthood in Joey's case, being a teenager in Matt's case, and having a precocious young imagination in Andy's case. It's a lighthearted family comedy that is about as inoffensive as anybody can get, which is probably why nobody seems to remember it except as that show with all of the Lawrence brothers on it at once. And the story goes a bit deeper because Joe actually returns to his family business after his father dies, leaving him to take care of Matt and Andy with the help of stepmother Claire. Did we mention that this was light and inoffensive?
Yes.
Because that's important.
Yes.
Actually, it is not important at all.
No.
It's just, you know, light and inoffensive. But you wouldn't believe who they got to play Claire Roman, the stepmother.
Who they get to play the stepmother?
Melinda Kalia from season one of the A-Team.
Oh, that Melinda Kalia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Rounding out the cast as Louise Davis was Liz Bassey from Future Installment Saved by the Bell Wedding in Las Vegas. And as Lloyd Burwell, Michael McShane. Yes, that Michael McShane from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes.
Now, wait a second. I'm sorry. I got to jump in about Liz Bassey.
Oh, Mike's going to defend Liz Bassey's honor. Okay, go ahead.
No, there is, I think, a better credit than what you mentioned for her. Because she'll always be Captain Liberty from the 2001 live-action version of The Tick.
Another future entry.
And a darn good show, too. I'm sorry, I had to get that off my chest. Because don't just be like saying, hey, Liz Vassey did everything but The Tick. No, The Tick made Liz Vassey's career, damn it.
You know, The Tick also made Peter Serafinowicz's career?
Well, The Tick also didn't make Tony Shalhoub's career, because that was Wings.
It was, hey, guys. All right. You mentioned Wings. I'm going to say something, okay? Because it was around this time, Brotherly Love and Wings were on NBC. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. All right. This is a shocking secret.
Okay.
I love Wings.
No.
That's true. I love Wings.
You're kidding.
Yep. And do you know
Get out of here.
Do you know why I love Wings so much?
Why do you love Wings so much?
It made Tony Shalhoub's career.
I figured as much.
Well, yeah, we just said that because we said that Wings did not make Liz Vassey's career because she probably wasn't even in Wings.
Yeah. Oh, and by
the way. No, I'm sorry. I'm doing live research.
She was on Wings?
She was on an episode of Wings in 1994.
Oh, good. Hey, guys.
Oh, wait. I'm just going to let Greg reminisce about Wings here.
Okay. You know what also I wanted to, after I finished taping this episode, Chico?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch the movie Tick, Tick, Boom on Netflix about the creator of Rent. And you don't want to know why?
Why?
Because every time I see Andrew Garfield, I'm going to think of No Way Home and the time Crystal Bernard said, I won't see Rent.
I won't see Rent.
I won't see Rent.
I won't see Rent.
You think Christopher Nord, when she went to the movie theater to see Spider-Man, said, I won't see Spider-Man.
Oh, jeez.
And this all started because I said, don't forget about Liz Vassy being in The Tick. I apologize.
Hilarity ensued.
That's last episode.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
But here's basically the long and short of it from IMDb. A year after his father's fatal accident, Joe Roman returns to Philadelphia to collect his share of his dad's estate, a car customizing business. His reunion with his stepmother, Claire, and his half-brothers is a little rocky. Despite her best efforts, Claire is struggling to keep the business afloat. 15-year-old Matt, tormented by a number of teen crises, both real and imagined, harbors much resentment toward Joe, and wildly imaginative 7-year-old Andy can't quite hide his need for a father figure. It doesn't take Joe long to realize how much he's needed, so he accepts Claire's offer to move in and work in the family business. Downstairs in the garage, Joe works alongside his father's pit crew chief, the slightly scrambled Lloyd, and Lou, a feisty conceptual artist slash mechanic. Romantic tension between Lou and Joe grows as the two try to maintain a working relationship. Upstairs, Joe is becoming a part of the family he never knew, with all of a family's adjustments, responsibilities, joys, and heartaches. Yeah. Like I said, inoffensive and forgettable. So there are 40 episodes. Let's go over all of them, shall we?
Yes, and by the way, we have a good array of guest stars in this episode.
All right. So you have the list of guest stars. I have the list of episodes. Together, we are Voltron.
Well,
let's do it.
Well, some of the guest stars are also on the Wikipedia page, so.
Okay. Season 1. Joe looks up his stepmother and two half-brothers after the death of his father. Because this is the pilot. Because that's what you do in the pilot. You set up the premise. This is what gets the show on the air, friends.
Yeah, I got Mr. Bogus on the air somehow. That first episode, Let's Meet the Boguses, or whatever it was called.
Meet Mr. Bogus was the first episode.
What? I tried forgetting that episode, and literally we just talked about it 20 minutes ago. Moving on.
Okay. Episode 2. Such a bargain. Lou had made an art sculpture that catches the eye of an art dealer, but Joe doesn't trust him. Also, Matt has the hots for a girl in his class trying to impress her, including getting a limo for the school dance.
Okay, do we want to mention who plays the art dealer?
Who?
Okay, you ready? Are you sitting down, Chico?
I am sitting down.
Bryan Cranston.
That Bryan Cranston?
Yes, that Bryan Cranston. Probably in between him doing voiceover spots on Power Rangers and when he played Jerry's dentist on Seinfeld, who converted to Judaism just for the jokes.
Okay. Episode... Oh, my God, that's a young-looking Bryan Cranston.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
He looks like yuppie trash.
Yes. Oh, playing Gus in this episode is Mike Starr. Mike Starr was in the movie Dumb and Dumber. He was one of the two henchmen with Karen Duffy. You remember that? He was the guy who Lloyd and Harry accidentally killed with the pills.
Whoops.
Pills are good. Pills are good.
Episode 3. The Liberty Bell Show, because this is Philadelphia, friends. Matt and Joe argue over who should date Matt's forensic teacher, and Andy believes he is responsible for the crack of the Liberty Bell after visiting with the field trip. Oh, jeez.
What? Okay.
Playing the role of the teacher, Debbie, Tyler Layton.
And the only thing of consequence she did... She was in 12 episodes of a show that we've talked about in the past, Silk Stockings.
Oh, Silk Stockings.
That's for It Was a Thing After Dark.
USA is softcore porn after wrestling.
Me after Monday Night Raw at 10:05. Boing.
Oh boy.
And if you get Z Living, you can get reruns. They'd show two a day on weekdays in the afternoon.
Oh, weekdays. So if you want to get your fix in during the day, boing.
Afternoon delight.
Oh, jeez.
Episode 4, A Midsummer's Nightmare. Matt has gotten a part in the school play, and Joe teases him about it, thus hurting Matt's confidence. But Joe also needs confidence when he tells Lou he will be his nude model for his art class.
Woo! I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
No.
Hey! Oh my goodness gracious! One of the fairies in the school play, because they're doing A Midsummer Night's Dream, which has fairies in it, one of the people playing the fairies was Shiri Appleby, y'all!
What?
Shiri Appleby. She played the bad girl in the Huffing Pain episode of Seventh Heaven.
Oh, yes! The Huffing Pain episode of Seventh Heaven, yeah.
No, that was another episode. She played a gangbanger, the most the least threatening gangbanger on the planet on an episode of Seventh Heaven.
God!
I know this because it was a very special episode on Dashiell Driscoll's A Very Special Episode. And now that I've completely lost it.
Before we move on, writing this episode is a name I've mentioned in the past. Pamela Eales, she was the person who basically ruined Married with Children in this 11th season.
Oh.
In my opinion.
Well, she was busy ruining Family Matters as well. So.
Well, she did go on to be an executive producer on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Oh, good for her.
Hey, we love Mr. Mosby on this podcast. And hey, guys, just remember, when you watch Brenda's song on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody, just remember, Macaulay Culkin is hitting that. Because she's married to Macaulay Culkin.
Oh my god.
Hilarity ensues.
Episode 5, Uptown Girl. Joe ignores his responsibilities when he meets a free-thinking woman.
Hey, there's a special guest playing himself in this episode. I don't know how he did this since he would have been associated with Fox at this time, but Terry Bradshaw was on this episode.
Well, Terry Bradshaw in 1985. The NFL on Fox is huge after its first year. You know, everyone on the NFL on Fox, they were cultural icons at this point.
And playing the girlfriends, Christy, or the girl of the week, I should say, is Mathéa Webb, who was actually on this very show in 2000 when we were talking about, no, she wasn't on the show, but we talked about her during the Nightstand episode.
Oh,
so okay. Tim Stack, if you're listening, and I know you are, this lady was on Nightstand.
Yes. And also, let's just remember, Tim, as you know, Parker Lewis, your son, can't lose.
Episode 6, The Comic-Con. Lloyd meets a potential sweetheart on the internet, on this very internet, and Matt tries to hide a blemish before his first date.
Man, this is so cutting edge. It's 1995, and he's meeting a girl on the internet.
Yep. And you know who else he meets on this internet in this episode?
Who?
George Takei.
Oh, that's terrific. George Takei.
Oh,
the man who is the internet, basically, nowadays.
Yes. Maybe he was introduced to the internet by Joey Lawrence.
Perhaps.
Does that deserve a whoa or an oh my?
¿Por qué no los dos?
Whoa.
Oh my.
And also featured on this episode is Megan Kavanaugh as Lotus. And of course, Megan Kavanaugh, best known as Shirley the Receptionist on Miss Congeniality 2 and Broomhilda in Robin Hood Men in Tights, but also a prolific voice actress. She was in Winx Club, X's and O's, The Mighty Bee, Tack and the Power of Juju, Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius.
Okay, hold up. You mentioned Megan Kavanaugh. Are we not going to talk about the fact that she was Moira Hooch in A League of Their Own? Because that's important.
Yes, we are going to talk about this. We need to talk about this.
Yes.
And we've just talked about it. Episode 7, The Sleepover Show. Bridget, who is an old friend of Joe's from high school, reunites with Joe, and he asks her to spend the night.
Ooh.
Playing Bridget is Wendy Benson Landis, who was credited as Wendy Benson and has since married Michael Landis, the original Jimmy Olsen from Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
And I'm going to add, the writer of this episode is Eddie Gorodetsky. He's one of the big people with Chuck Lorre. He's produced Mom. He does Call Me Cat currently. He did many episodes of Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men. And he also produced quite a few episodes of this very series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So there's a connection to two Mayim Bialik shows with this guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Episode 8, Witchcraft. A fortune teller gives Joe a Halloween scare, as well as Andy's disappearance. Claire goes to a party on her own dressed as a wad of gum, while Matt endures the taunts of college-age trick-or-treaters. And Lloyd watches the scariest movie ever made. The Sound of Music.
What's so scary about The Sound of Music? That there's Nazis in it?
Probably. You know who else is in it?
Oh, the Crypt Keeper's in it.
Yep. The Crypt Keeper's in it. John Cassier. And playing one of the trick-or-treaters, Melanie Hutzel.
Oh, yes. That Melanie Hutzel.
Mm-hmm. From SNL, yeah. And actually playing Dr. Ron Ames in this episode was Rondell Sheridan.
He and Camille Winbush were reprising their roles from future installment, Minor Adjustments, which would have followed this show on NBC.
Okay, I was actually hoping we get a little love for Cousin Skeeter.
Yeah, Cousin Skeeter. I mean, we got to mention Bill Bellamy on this podcast.
When can we not mention Bill Bellamy on this podcast?
Well, whenever we do Rock and Chalk, you know we're going to mention him a lot.
Yep.
Him and Dan Cortez.
Episode 9, Bait and Switch. A conspiratorial Lloyd locks up Joe and Lou in the storeroom on a day that Lou has arranged a blind date to get them to fall in love. Aww. He couldn't have chosen a worse day because Joe has promised to aid Matt in a date with Destiny. A fight with a school bully. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
No real guests of note on this episode. Sorry. Episode 10, Outbreak. The 90s jokes just keep writing themselves, folks.
Was Dustin Hoffman in this episode? Was Marcel the Monkey from Friends in this episode?
No.
Oh.
Claire, Andy, and Lloyd have the chicken pox. Because of this, Claire can't do her work, leaving Joe in charge. Joe makes an executive decision to expand Roman customizing by signing a new account, one that Claire has turned down.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
The hits just keep on coming, folks. Episode 11, A Roman Holiday. a Roman holiday.
Ha ha ha! I see what you did there.
Christmas morning is coming, and Andy told Lloyd to tell Santa what he wanted for Christmas. Lloyd promised Andy that Santa would come through for him, but finds himself in a bind when he is unable to pull it off. Oh no. We tried, now we're up to, oh no.
I almost feel like we could use Tom Post in here. Oh no, I ruined Christmas!
Yep. Episode 12. Once Around the Block. Matt hopes to shed his boring image by catching the action at a salsa dance club. Ooh. When his mom and Lou suddenly show up, as does Lloyd, he doesn't know what to do. Andy is thrilled when Joe works on a car that is oddly similar to the Batmobile.
Hey, one big name in this episode as a narrator, Billy West!
Yes! Yes.
That Billy West.
That Billy West. Ren and Stimpy, Futurama. Oh yeah, him.
Episode 13. Remember, Matt gets a job at Philadelphia's Lucky Burger as the clown. He only does this for the money. Claire is worried about Joe, but he decides he wants to race, just like his dad. And holy crap, guess who they got to play a person on this episode?
Big name.
Two people. Two big names. Alright, playing the role of Eduardo is Nestor Carbonell from such series as Lost and The Morning Show. And
wasn't he on Suddenly Susan?
He was also on Suddenly Susan.
Yes!
And we were talking about The Tick earlier. He played Batmanuel.
Yes. Also, he was the mayor of Gotham City in the Dark Knight trilogy.
Maybe we have to talk about The Tick soon.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But and even bigger than that.
But
even bigger than that.
Playing the role of Doug, Tom Kenny, a.k.a. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes. And, of course, we've seen recently NFL players kick a field goal into SpongeBob's mouth.
It all goes back to the wild card games now, doesn't it?
Oh, no! The slime monster's here! Everyone run for your lives! The slime monster! Oh!
Just remember, Dak Prescott ran up the middle and he still got MVP.
Thank you, PFC.
Mm-hmm. Episode 14. Big Brotherly Love. Matt and Andy think that Jack, a man who Claire enlisted to be a mentor to Matt and Andy as part of the Big Brothers program, is great. But to Joe, Jack is trying to replace their dad.
And who plays Jack?
Somebody Andy already knows.
Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold.
Well, guess what? He's the best damn mentor of Big Brothers, period.
Yep. Also playing Big Brothers, Billy West as Billy, and Jimmy Briscoe as Jimmy.
Hold
Billy
on.
Billy West, of course.
Time out. You see what I did there when I said the best damn mentor at Big Brothers, period.
Yes, I see what you did there.
Because he was on the best damn sports show, period, Tom Arnold. Okay, go ahead about Billy West.
Billy West, of course, Futurama, Ren and Stimpy, Bugs Bunny in Space Jam, folks. Jimmy Briscoe, he was on an episode of the Weird Al show, so. Episode 15. Bride and Prejudice. Lou's boyfriend proposes to her, and now she has to make a difficult decision. Accept it, or try to make it work with Joe. Meanwhile, Matt's new friends make fun of Lloyd. And the season finale, Double Date. Joe is annoyed with his latest squeeze, Amy. Lou feels the same way about her latest fling, Tom. and they suggest a double date, and they hope their dates will fall for each other. Meanwhile, Matt grows out of spending time with childhood best friend Lance. So playing the role of Amy is Lisa Riefel, who is an actor, singer, musician, and I want to say of that person from That Thing, but she was in The Thorns, Aunt Jillian, The Trials of Rosie O'Neill, Women of the House, and Season 5 of Empty Nest.
But Tom is played by Peter Krause, who's best known for 6 Feet Under.
And Sports Night. Why does everybody forget Sports Night?
Yeah, Sports Night, but 6 Feet Under is more memorable. But Sports Night's great, too. Insert joke about Felicity Huffman and the college SAT scandal here.
No.
Jeez.
Oh, God.
Yeah, gee whiz.
Okay, and of course, after that episode, NBC canceled the show. And before we get into season two, which Mike's going to take over, can we at least see what happened to season one? Because it had a, I wouldn't say it was a flush time slot. I mean, it was leading off the night, but it couldn't find an audience. Let's see why real quick. Yeah, it aired on Sunday nights on NBC at 7 o'clock. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, NFL overruns, I bet.
Not only NFL overruns, but a little show for the olds called 60 Minutes.
Yeah, but at this time, 60 Minutes doesn't have the lead-in from the NFL because CBS would have lost the NFL to Fox.
Well, even without the NFL, it's still placed ninth.
It's still 60 Minutes.
Oh, yeah. Everyone wants to see Andy Rooney rant about whatever.
Well, also remember, don't just look at CBS, look at ABC, because what have they aired on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock for the last 3 decades?
Oh, America's Funniest Home Videos.
Uh-huh. That's a 1-2 punch that'll take out many a show.
Yeah. We miss you, Bob.
We do. And I'm guessing NBC wants this show to work. They've got to move it somewhere. They do move it somewhere. They move it right after the Fresh Prince.
But that's Fresh Prince in its final season.
That's Fresh Prince in its final season, yes. And it was only a placeholder for In the House, which is another show that would air on 2 different networks. But it's slightly more successful than this one.
And also, talking about competition that night, it was up against a popular little show on Fox called Melrose Place?
Oh, yeah.
That'll do it.
Yep, that'll do it.
America loved their Heverlocklear in 1995, 1996.
Indeed they did.
After failing twice on NBC and bouncing around to a couple of time slots, it landed on the WB's midsummer lineup in an all-too-familiar place. Not 7 p.m. on Sunday nights. How about 7:30 p.m. on Sunday nights? So it's still going up against America's Funniest Home Videos. It's still going up against 60 Minutes. And actually, at this point, it's also going up against Dateline NBC on its former network.
Oh, yeah, because Dateline NBC is so big at this point. It's like, what, 3 nights a week at this point?
Yeah, 3, maybe even 4 nights a week, yeah.
Yeah, Stone Phillips, Jane Pauley, you can't beat that.
No, you can't. And that takes us to episode 1 of season 2, called Lord of the Guys. Lou takes Claire away from the house for a girls' weekend at a spa, and the boys have to look after themselves. I think we need to put Susan in here. Luckily for Joe and Andy, Matt knows what to do.
Wait, he does?
Well, this is, supposedly it says right there he knows what to do.
Oh, okay.
And in this episode, playing Annika is Maya Turley, who was on 7 episodes of Mad Men as Catherine Olsen.
Oh, cool.
Episode 2, of season two is Joe at 21. Boy, guess what it's about? Somebody's Joe turning 21.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa, indeed. It is Joe's 21st birthday. He spends the night in a bar thinking about his dad. The rest are playing a surprise party for him. When Joe gets home, he is drunk.
Oh.
Oh, of course he is.
Total blotto. Well, hey, it's your 21st. What are you going to do? Me? I worked 9 hours on my 21st birthday, so I didn't have a chance to get drunk. Not that I would have. But hey, playing Mickey this episode, this is a name we've mentioned in the past.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I think a favorite of the podcast, Blake Clark.
Yes.
Ooh, I know who that guy is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been in plenty of things. He played the hardware store salesman on Home Improvement. He was on a week of Match Game Hollywood Squares because, of course, he did a week of Match Game Hollywood Squares. And also, you'd know him as Farmer Fran in the movie The Waterboy.
Yes. And he also voiced Slinky Dog in Toy Story 3 and 4. But the best part is we're going to be talking about him again later this year because he was in Women in Prison.
Yep.
Greg, well, can't wait for that episode.
Oh, for the theme song alone. This is the greatest theme song in history. Would you agree?
I'm going to be honest. I've never heard it.
You've never heard the Women in Prison theme song.
I'll look for it tonight.
You're going to love it.
And I'll edit my comments in this place right here.
It's definitely an unconventional theme song. One of the best ever? I don't know about that, but it is, like I said, very unconventional, very entertaining.
I want to hear what Mom has to say. You know, I've named the disembodied voice lady Mom because of Photon.
But she's computer voice lady.
Okay.
Okay, computer voice lady, what do you have to say about the Women in Prison theme song?
It's the best goddamn theme song ever created by humans. And Chico, don't you ever call me Mom, you f***.
There you go. Chico, shut the hell up.
She told you. Dang.
Damn, son.
Yeah. Episode 3. Episode 19 overall. Third episode of season 2. Claire's first date. Claire prepares for her first real date, Ed, a pool buddy of Joe's, since her husband's death. Matt and Andy dislike him because they think it is a replacement of their father.
Didn't they have this episode already? With the big brother replacing the father and everybody had a problem with it?
Yeah. Something like that. That was like 6 episodes ago. Yeah.
And it was 1 network ago, so.
6 episodes, 1 network?
Six episodes, 1 network, and a Tom Arnold ago, yeah. And in this episode, playing a delivery man is Sid Melton, who is the dead husband of Sophia Petrillo on The Golden Girls.
Does that mean she was B. Arthur's dad?
She was B. Arthur's daddy.
Wow.
Moving on real fast, episode 20, Other People. Joe and Lou agree to be, quote-unquote, just friends and date other people, but Joe fumes when Lou's quote-unquote, other person is someone named Mel that he does not know. And then he unwittingly asks out Lou's best friend, Melanie Marcos, the Mel to which Lou was referring. Oh, it's not a Mel, it's a Melanie. Ah.
Uh-huh.
but wait, hold on. That gets better because listen to the next name I'm going to say.
Oh, my gosh.
Mark Wiener stops by the shop to have his puppet truck customized.
What?
Mark Wiener, yes! Wienerville!
Mark Wiener!
Mark Wiener, that's great!
That's amazing.
This is the second appearance of Mark Wiener on the podcast because he was in the SNL 80 episode.
Yep.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, and one of the people in this episode is Jennifer Aspen, whose latest role of great import was as Sharon Peachum in the GCB. Of course, we all know GCP stands for Good Christian. Next episode, Mike.
It stands for Good Christian.
Oh, I thought I said GCP. I thought I was going to say Good Christian. I'm sorry. Oh my God. I was like, oh, well, okay, that makes sense that Chico's not saying it, but now it makes less sense because you said the actual word.
Well, okay. Greg said the actual word. I was trying to avoid it.
Don't deflect blame. Okay. Episode 21 is Viva la Fraternité. Both Joey and Matt ask Andy's new babysitter for a date. Meanwhile, Lloyd gets a really big toupee, which everyone is scared of. How big is the toupee if people are scared of it? I'm sorry.
I could not tell you.
That's a big toupee.
Hey, you know what Joey Lawrence's reaction was when he saw the big toupee?
No.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa, that's an ugly toupee.
Whoa, that's a really big toupee. Whoa.
That's a really big toupee. Whoa.
Meanwhile, Lou looks forward to seeing her father, but once again, he does not know if he'll show up.
Oh.
All right, episode 6. Oh, hey, this describes me to a T. Big Mike.
People Big refer Mike. To you as Big Mike?
Well, I'm not Little Mike.
No, you are Big Mike. But Thank you are you. Not the Big Mike in this particular episode.
I am not.
You are a Big Mike.
There's a reason why you're not that Big Mike.
Well, we'll find out. The boys are really excited when their grandfather, Big Mike, comes by for a visit. They all have a great time, but Mike makes some promises he cannot keep. Oh, maybe that's why you're not comparing me to Big Mike.
Uh-oh.
I keep all my promises.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. But playing Big Mike. Oh, this is a name. This is a name.
Yes.
Gil Gerard.
Buck Rogers.
That's it. Buck Rogers. That's all we need to say.
That's all you need to know.
That's all we need to know. Buck Rogers in the 25th century. And you know what? Hey, Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Hey, it's all worth it to watch Aaron Gray.
Yep.
Man's not wrong.
Yeah.
Nope.
Boing!
Jeez. I got my Aaron Gray fix watching Silver Spoons. I'm sorry. I like them a little more here.
I watched both, so.
Yeah. Boing. Episodes.
Jeez.
Hilarity ensues.
Episode 7, Motherly Love.
Aww.
Lloyd's RV-driving mom, Myrna, visits the garage. At the same time, Joe is pushing Andy to enter in a pine box derby to prevent a business rival's son from beating Matt's previous winning record. And playing the RV driving mom, Myrna. We just talked about Sal Petrillo. Well, here's his widow, Estelle Getty.
Yeah, Estelle Getty, nice. Baby. Yes.
Picture it. Sicily, 1941.
Okay, but I do have two guest stars I want to mention. Playing Pasternak in this episode is Lee Orenberg, who played Pintel, one of Captain Barbossa's crew in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and played Grumpy in the TV series Once Upon a Time. But, oh, Chico, you ready for this? Playing Little Ricky, Aaron Eisenberg, a.k.a. Nog from Deep Space Nine.
Nice!
Yes.
Episode 8 is Kernel of Truth. Andy figures he'll not get into any more trouble in school if Joe dates his stern but attractive teacher, Miss Harper. Claire dates Jimmy, a man she met at the supermarket who has serious mommy issues. Psychology student Matt fears he may have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Whoa.
Yeah, playing the role of Miss Harper is Trisha Lee Fisher, who is that lady from That Thing. But she was in future installments, including Love American Style, the movie.
There was a movie based on Love American Style.
Yes. But oh, Chico, you're not going to mention that she's Carrie Fisher's half-sister?
I did not know this. I was today years old when I knew this.
Yeah, and she's also Joey Fisher's sister, too, so.
You know what that means?
What?
She's Debbie Reynolds' half-daughter.
She's Annie Fisher's daughter, you dumbass.
Also, another name, we mentioned him earlier, playing the butcher in this episode is Eddie Gorodetsky, the guy who's a producer with Chuck Lorre Productions.
Yes.
Episode 9, Downtown Girl. Joe meets Phoebe D., an old classmate who is heading towards stardom in her music career. This makes him think about the decisions he has made. Matt is stuck doing a science assignment with Lydia Lump. That's a horrible name. Lydia Lump, a nerdy classmate.
But do we want to mention who plays Lydia Lump? This is a big name.
Oh, by no means is this person a nerd. This is a great name from the 90s. Jody Sweetin.
That's right. Stephanie Tanner.
And yep. Also, she hosted Pants Off, Dance Off.
Yep.
What
the hell? Wait, Greg, wait. You don't know what Pants Off, Dance Off is?
No!
Oh, my gosh. Sit down.
Okay.
Do you want me to explain or you want to explain?
Explain it, Mike.
Okay. So Pants Off, Dance Off was on what's currently Fuse TV. It was called Much Music USA. This is about a decade ago or so. And basically, it was people kind of karaokeing to pop songs at that time. But also, the entire time, they're like, I don't want to say stripping, but just taking off most of their clothes. They kept on their underwear. But yeah, Pants Off, Dance Off. I cannot believe Greg has not heard of this till now.
Well, guess what? It's on the list.
I think what's even more amazing is that me and Chico, boom, we knew what Pants Off, Dance Off was. And I'm ashamed I knew it.
No shame, only knowledge.
Well, whatever floats your boat.
Oh, also, Andrea Bendewald played the old flame of Joey's. And she was known for Suddenly Susan as well.
Okay. We're getting a lot of Suddenly Susan veterans on here. Okay. Episode 10 is called The Great Indoors. Not The Great Outdoors, The Great Indoors.
Yeah, not the show that has Joel McHale in it. That's another entry.
Oh, that may be another episode, too. Andy is proud of getting his wilderness badge. He wants to wear this on the camping trip that his pioneers group was planning. Thanks to a storm, the trip gets canceled, but they end up having the camping trip in the garage. Meanwhile, Claire and Lou have a girls' movie night and end up bawling in tears with every movie they watch.
Really?
Well, it depends what type of movies they're watching.
Hmm. Playing Susie is Portia Dawson, and hey, one of her notable film roles was in the 1991 movie Cool as Ice. And also, she was in 44 episodes of Blossom, so.
Okay.
Yeah, she played Rhonda.
All right, episode 11, The Driving Lesson. A merciless driver's ed teacher, Mr. Hangarter, may have Matt's future in mind when he passes out grades, but Joe has only revenge in mind when he rallies Matt, Lloyd, and Lou in playing a prank on the man in order to get back at him. And playing that driver's ed teacher, this is a guy we did not talk about all that long ago, Keene Curtis. We talked about him on, was it One in a Million?
One in a Million.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was only, what, about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we talked about him on One in a Million. And actually, this episode, this is a note from our good friends at Wikipedia. This episode was originally produced for the first season, but its original broadcast was held over until the second season. And we also have Billy West as an uncredited narrator again. So Billy West, that's at least his third appearance in this series. Okay. Episode 12 of season 2, Power of Love. No sign of Huey Lewis or the news in this episode.
Oh.
Eduardo returns to town, sweeping Lou off of her feet romantically, much to Joe's chagrin. getting advice from Eduardo, Matt says meaninglessly, I love yous to date attractive girls. After listening to numerous self-help tapes, Lloyd decides to quit his job at the garage to try and fulfill his dreams. Claire is worried that Andy is emulating Joe's lack of affection for other people.
Interesting thing about this episode, Nestor Carbonell does not play Eduardo.
Yeah, because he would be on Suddenly Susan now.
Yeah. He's played by a man named Luigi Amadeo.
Who that be?
He was in The Bold and the Beautiful for like a week. But he was also on an episode of Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, that's great.
Playing the gigolo.
What?
Remember, I'm guessing it was one of those holodeck adventures, maybe.
Oh, Janeway probably had a holodeck adventure with the gigolo. Woo!
I'm sure she did. And Sid Melton is on this episode again. He plays Captain Speedy. I don't get it either.
No.
Episode 29, which is the 13th episode of Season 2, is Party Girl. Kristen is a new girl in Matt's life. Everyone around him agrees that Kristen is out of his league because the girl drinks and goes to rave parties, but Matt protests.
All right, Chico, I know you're doing something else right now, but you need to listen to see who's playing Kristen on this episode. Are you sitting down? Good. Playing Kristen is Rebecca Herbst, who played the character of Susie on the Nickelodeon show Space Cases. And she's on General Hospital. She played the character of Elizabeth Weber. So that's terrific. She was on Space Cases.
Oh, but we got one better, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Playing the art dealer in this episode, another podcast favorite.
Oh.
Phil Proctor.
That's right, Phil and Lil's dad from Rugrats. Two Nickelodeon connections in this episode, damn it.
Episode 30 is Skin Deep. Matt and Kristen are still hanging out together. Kristen then sets Matt up with Carly, a depressive girl who wants to get him a tattoo. Meanwhile, Joe and Lou think that Lloyd has developed romantic feelings for Claire.
Whoa.
Yeah. Rebecca Herbst is in this episode too, obviously.
Oh, cool.
Episode 31 is called Paging Nell. Joe is reunited with his old friend next door neighbor, Nell Bascom, who needs a new kidney. Playing Nell Bascom, the one and only co-star of Joey Lawrence about 15 years earlier at this point, Nell Carter.
That's right, Nell Carter. The late legendary Nell Carter. Nell Carter!
And actually, the story to this episode was written by Liz Segal.
Yeah.
You'd know her as Katie Segal's sister.
Oh.
But also, she was one of the two twins on future installment Double Trouble.
Oh, my God. Yes, Double Trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, a USA Network favorite.
As well as O'Madeline. Oh, now I got to play that clip. Darn.
Oh, my mother's like it's raining in Kansas. No, that's just a little bit of dirt. I'll just pass it right. Oh, what? There goes Kansas. Oh, my, that looks like the day after.
I just walked right into that one. You're welcome, Greg. Episode 32 is called The Comet. Matt decides to reinvent himself when a new girl, Julia, comes to town to visit her grumpy grandfather, Harry Old Man Gibbs. Andy is frightened that they will get hit by the comet.
What?
I don't get it.
Andy, you're so stupid.
And this is actually Joey Lawrence's directorial debut.
Whoa. You think after he said action, he followed it up by saying, whoa.
No, that's how he says cut. Whoa.
Cut. Whoa. Playing Julia is Lauren Woodland. And Mike, you're not going to believe this. She played Emily Francisco on Alien Nation.
Oh, my. Okay.
How many times have we mentioned Alienation on this podcast?
We've mentioned it a few times.
Yeah.
And actually, I want to throw out the name of the old man, Harry Gibbs. The person who plays him is Al Ruscio. Not a big name, but if you look at his resume, he is the consummate that guy from that show going back to the late 50s. Late 50s all the way up to 2007 when he was on Till Death.
Okay.
But he did a little bit of everything. Episode 33, Stealing Beauty. Kristen gets mad a job at a music store, but his future there looks bleak when the manager collars a shoplifter. Matt later finds out that Kristen stole CDs and stuck them into his backpack. Matt is afraid to tell on her because she could get arrested. In the end, Kristen confesses and Claire pays to bail her out. Joe and Lloyd try their best to keep the shop bathroom clean.
But hey, playing Chip the Can-Do Plumber is the series co-creator Jonathan Schmuck. But hey, Mike, I just found out something while I did some live research, and I realized something. Jonathan Schmuck played the maitre d' in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Really? Oh, yes. My.
He's the maitre d' who confronts Matthew Broderick about Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. And, yeah, he pretends that he's Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago.
By he, Greg means Matthew Broderick, obviously.
And he's like, okay, checks out.
Yep. And actually directing this episode, listen to this. Here's another name. Didn't know he's ever directed anything.
Oh, yes!
Paul Kripple!
Yes, from It's a Living.
The piano player on It's a Living, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That is great, absolutely.
Oh. Okay.
Episode 34, Art Attack. Lou has some modern art she wants to take to the museum, so Joe helps her carry her work. Fiona Kensington, the daughter of the owner of the art gallery, sees the artwork and thinks Joe did it. So he impresses her by doing some last-minute art with the help from Andy. Also, Matt takes up playing the guitar and wants to write a song. Matt tries to find inspiration by his surroundings. When their garbage man Leo pays a visit, Andy tells him he has got a pigeon on his car. Matt then comes up with a very bad song. Well, yeah, if I had a pigeon on my car, I'd probably come up with a very bad song, too.
Hey, I got a joke for you. Ready, Mike?
Oh, no.
You know what Billy Joel would have to say about this episode? Working too hard can give it on a tack. You ought to know by now.
Episode 35, Pizza Girl. That was horrible.
That was very damn bad, Greg, and you should feel bad.
Romance is in the air at the pizza parlor as Matt's coworker Rosa falls for Joe and Andy falls for a young girl who does not think his... Oh, this is perfect, Greg. This is... I'm going to redo this, but this is perfect for what we your last joke there. Romance is in the air at the pizza parlor as Matt's coworker Rosa falls for Joe and Andy falls for a young girl who does not think his jokes are funny. Meanwhile, Lloyd steals a pig from a Chinese restaurant and refuses to return it in fear it'll be killed. The coworker Rosa in this episode.
Oh, hold up. In terms of people we've mentioned on this podcast and guest stars, this has to be in the top 10.
This is definitely in like the top 5% of people, yes. And this would have been about the time she was on SNL, maybe a little bit after.
Yes.
And the person we're talking about is Sarah Silverman.
Yes. And let's just say, if you don't know who Sarah Silverman is, just stop listening to this podcast, please. I beg you, don't listen to this podcast anymore. Like, seriously, do we have to explain who Sarah Silverman is?
But we do insist you continue listening. Alrighty, we got five to go. Episode 36, Easy Come, Easy Go. Andy becomes Joe's good luck charm on a trip to Atlantic City for a while. Meanwhile, bad luck crashes the scene when Matt throws his first big party. Oh my gosh, we have another amazing guest star in this episode playing himself.
Oh, yes. Yes.
The one and only Rip Taylor.
Oh, and I guarantee you he was throwing confetti all over the place. And you know what Joey's reaction would be when he saw the confetti being thrown by Rip Taylor?
Whoa, whoa. And of course, we mentioned Rip Taylor previously on the $1.98 Beauty Show.
Yes.
And the April Fool's Day prank, Rip Taylor in Time.
Yeah, I know. Guys, I assure you, Rip Taylor in Time, when we came up with it, was much funny in January of 2020, before we knew what was going to happen later on in the year.
We tried.
You had to be there for it.
Yeah, like most everything that goes on with the show, you had to be there. And actually, directing this episode is another name associated with Chuck Lorre Productions, specifically Big Bang Theory, Mark Sandrowski.
Oh, okay.
Again, another known entity behind the camera, as it were. All right, episode 21 of season 2, I Scream, You Scream, part 1. Joe moves in for the kill after Matt claims he is just friends with Kristen. An ice cream vendor is a real treat for Andy and for Claire.
Ooh! But playing Ken in this episode.
Oh, another big name.
Kevin Meaney.
Oh, I miss him.
Yeah, but we will talk about him because he was in the 1990 television version of Uncle Buck.
Yeah, he was in the TV version of Uncle Buck.
Yeah, not to be confused with the later 2010s version with Mike Epps.
Right. But he did many things. Sadly, no longer with us. That's why I reacted that way.
Yeah.
And then part two. This isn't I Scream, You Scream part two. It's We All Scream part two. Yeah, finishing the phrase there. Matt and Joe nearly come to fisticuffs over Kristen, who is unable to handle the truth when she hears it, and Lou receives an email message from an admirer.
Oh, wow, an email message.
Well, it's 1997. Email is still relatively new to the vast majority of the population.
Today it would be like something on like Match.com or something. I don't know.
Or a DM into your Instagram or something like that. But directing this episode, it's a name we've mentioned in the past. Maybe not that often, but we've mentioned him. Rich Carrell.
Oh, yeah.
He was on Leave It to Beaver back in the 60s. He played Rich, one of Beaver's friends. But also, he was on the week of Match Game Hollywood Squares, where it was Gallagher and the cast of Leave It to Beaver.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And he's directed many, many shows since then. He also produced Police Squad.
That's right. He did produce Police Squad.
Yeah.
He's also directed a bunch of shows. He directed episodes of Perfect Strangers, Full House, Sister, Sister, Step by Step. He directed one episode of Married with Children, Mike. Oh, and Future Entry, Mike, Mego.
Oh, my gosh. Mego, one of the shows that killed CBS on Friday nights. I'm going to need some brain bleach for that episode. All right, two episodes ago, episode 39 is Mother's Day. Mother's Day brings a surprise visit from Joe's hippie mom, who is pregnant and married to an aura photographer.
Oh.
An aura photographer, yeah.
But hey, guess who's back playing the character of Lucien in this episode? Tom Kenny!
SpongeBob himself.
Yes. All right. One more episode to go.
Last one, episode 40, is called Girl Crazy. Julia returns, hoping to strike up a relationship with Matt again, but his friends are not part of her plans. Meanwhile, Andy sells his childhood at a garage sale to earn cash. Really, you should have just held on to it, put it on eBay 20 years later, and you probably would have made 5 times your money. No, really. That's what like the going rate is for your childhood on eBay, is like 5 times what you could have gotten 20 years ago.
Well, That's brotherly love. Wow.
Not whoa.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, it lasted two seasons. It struggled through two seasons, I should say. Got 40 episodes. Was on two networks. And despite having three adorable siblings on the show, really, like 25 years after the fact, it's just a thing on TV.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Wow!
Whoa! 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 I can't believe this episode. Whoa! Whoa!
After these messages, we'll be right back.
You've got a Pepsi generation way of taste and life. I can see it in your style, your look, your laugh, your smile.
Sunday, join Dick Clark as we find out if the real love boat is anything like it is on TV. And get in shape with Miss Universe Sean Weatherly on the television premiere of Inside America. Then,
we have a man on board, says he has a bomb.
The Skyjacker wants $3 million and a flight to freedom. Today's FBI. Next, Adventurers Without Compromise.
Have I ever let you down?
Roger Moore, Lee Marvin, Shout at the Devil.
Sunday, starting at 7, 6 Central in Mountain.
I always want beautiful hair, so I color it with Performing Preference. The color's translucent with layers of light, and it feels fabulous, I'm told. And I'm worth it, I say.
Performing Preference from L'Oreal.
On a job like mine, I can't slow down for a cold or a cold medicine that makes me drowsy. That's why I count on Sudafed.
Sudafed starts to work in as quick as 22 minutes without drowsiness. It's the fast-acting cold medicine.
It won't slow you down.
Good evening, and welcome.
NBC Monday Night at the Movies will return following these messages.
The moment you've waited 5 years for is here.
Congratulations.
Remington Steele. Their passions ignite in the incredible romantic climax. They finally hit the hay.
A magical moment.
Sounds like fun.
This Tuesday, a two-hour Remington Steele in color.
McDonald's presents Double Features. The return of McDonald's Double Cheeseburger. Sizzling, unforgettable, tastes real good. And introducing Double Fries, a sensation, a masterpiece. Oh, what? Yes, McDonald's Delicious Double Cheeseburger. Yes, a double-sized order of McDonald's regular fries. Now for a limited time.
Buy the Double Features meal for $1.89 and get two movie tickets for the price of one. Good at Malco and other participating theaters. Check your local theater or McDonald's for details.
On an all-new season premiere, Blossom runs away from home with the wrong kind of guy.
Here it is.
What?
The key to our room.
What happens next? Only Tony's new girlfriend knows for sure.
Well, here's a clue.
Can I have a clue?
It's the one-hour season premiere of Blossom, starting at 8, 7 Central, Monday on NBC.
A simple comparison between the Ford Taurus and the Honda Accord. With a 3-liter V6, the Ford Taurus has a lot to offer under the hood. With an Accord, you'll have to drop some power. The Taurus can hold 6 passengers comfortably. With the Accord, you'll have to drop a passenger. And since its introduction in 1986, there's been a Taurus on every car and driver top 10 list. Accord has been dropped from the list. See your Ford dealer today and prepare to be impressed.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Bart versus the Space Mutants for Nintendo. Homer, Marge, Lisa, and Maggie all join in on the mayhem as Bart tries to save Springfield from an alien invasion from Acclaim.
From your friends
music store, but they never told. You might be a star tonight, so let that camera roll. You're the red, white, and blue. All the funny things you do. America, America, this is you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Saget.
Hi. This is America's Funniest Home Videos. Now, note that the word funniest is in our title. Funniest backwards is see enough. And you can't see enough of our clips. But now you've got a pretty good idea of how our show works. You send in your videos. We show them to millions of people. Your friends are thrilled. Your family is proud. We all have a good laugh. And I go home to my wife. God, I love this country.
Episode 237, submission number 1657, Monday Night Football. Wait AKA, for it.
AKA the How I Met Your Mother Super Bowl episode.
Yep. Monday Night Football was an episode of How I Met Your Mother that aired on CBS the night of February 5th, 2007.
Well, guys, this episode, when I put this on the schedule, was not intended to be timely like the Jeopardy episode last year. But there are two circumstances, well, actually three, that make it fitting for this week. But the first we got to acknowledge right now, and we alluded to it at the beginning of the show, the recent passing of Bob Saget.
Yeah, we lost a legend. Nobody will ever replace him.
He was our dad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Danny Tanner on Full House for 8 seasons, and also America's Funniest Home Videos. Now, let's be clear. I put in the opening the one clip from America's Funniest Home Videos that Mike, you really liked, and you told me in the pre-show. But that was from the because the America's Funniest Home Videos YouTube channel actually posted right after Bob passed away. The 12 hours of episodes from the first season of America's Funniest Home Videos. And I got to say, having not seen those episodes since I was 6, they still hold up.
Very much so.
They're classic. I mean, I think after a certain period of time, you just had, for lack of a better phrase, a bunch of nutshot videos, if you will. You had kids playing wiffle ball or t-ball, and they smack the ball, and where does it go? It's like magnetically attracted to the dad's crotch. It seems like there is a proliferation of those types of videos after a very short while. But yeah, the first season, they were actually true non-staged home videos.
Especially one of my all-time favorite videos, the Pushing a Rock video. With the dog pushing a rock, with Bob narrating the dog's thoughts as he's pushing a rock, which is basically pushing a rock, pushing a rock, pushing a rock, turn it around, pushing a rock.
Through the advancement of electronic science, we are able to hear this dog's thoughts.
Pushing a rock, pushing a rock, pushing a rock, turn it around, pushing a rock, 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 turn it around, pushing a rock.
The beauty of the first season of America's Funniest Home Videos and the second and the third, and I want to say about halfway through the third, it was basically like, what would happen if you took The Far Side and turned it into a live-action show? Except without the anthropomorphic cows.
But also, of course, we all know Bob was the narrator for the very show that we're about to talk about, How I Met Your Mother, which recently, Chico, got a spinoff on Hulu. And it's airing right now.
Mm-hmm. How I Met Your Father, with Hilary Duff as the lead and Kim Cattrall as future Hilary Duff.
Oh yeah, baby.
And I've watched the show. I can see it and hear it.
Oh yeah, I can definitely see Kim Cattrall as older Hilary Duff, yes. It definitely makes sense. Makes more sense than Josh Radnor becoming Bob Saget.
Right?
Yeah, I know. Well, we only heard the voice. We didn't actually see him in the future until the last episode. Where somehow he became himself? Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, they didn't even, you know, sort of fudge with the voice a bit. I mean, come on, at least fudge with the voice.
Oh, well. But, hey, we also got the Super Bowl coming up right now. And, hey, in How I Met Your Mother's second season, it just so happened in 2007 that CBS was airing the Super Bowl.
Yep. And they pretty much pulled out all the stops to get people to watch both the Super Bowl and season two of How I Met Your Mother. I mean, season two is basically when How I Met Your Mother sort of embraced its viral mentality.
I see it right by, we'll explain it later, but yeah, I see it in Chico's Zoom background. But really, I think the moment that I think captures the second season is the Robin Sparkles' Let's Go to the Mall music video. Where the entire episode is basically teasing that where Robin allegedly did a porn video. And then when
Robin didn't do a porn video. She was married. That's the joke between both Ted and Barney.
Oh, that's right.
Ted thought she was married in Canada. While Barney thought it was porn.
Yeah.
Because that's the way Barney thinks.
And then
his mind immediately goes to porn.
Yeah. And then when we finally see the video, it's just like,
it's better than both of them combined and magnified.
Oh, yes. Isn't that the episode that gives birth to the slot bet, which is a future entry?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah. One day we'll talk about the entire history of the slot bet. But that's another story for another day, just like everything on this show, which is the longest story in the history of mankind, where Ted Mosby's future kids in 2030 have to be bored out of their damn minds.
Yeah. One of them was bored right onto Disney Plus. But I'm tish.
Which one is that?
Lindsay Fonseca, the daughter.
What's she on?
She's on Turner and Hooch.
Oh, well, isn't that fitting? Because Josh Peck is on How I Met Your Father. I won't spoil it, but he does appear in episode 3, the latest episode that's just aired on Hulu of How I Met Your Father. But
yeah,
I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay.
Okay, so, future Greg.
All right, let's discuss this episode right now.
Okay, so it begins, as most episodes do, in the year 2030. And in this particular episode, they're talking about the holidays. But there was Ted's favorite holiday, Super Bowl Sunday. And of course, we talk about the big game of 2007. Ted is delegating all of the responsibilities and tells Barney basically to
curb his gambling problem. Which it's like, I don't have a problem with gambling. No, it's not like gambling's going to be like a big thing in like 14, 15 years. Am I right?
Because it is a big thing in 14 or 15 years. They just legalized it.
But oh, they cannot wait for this Super Bowl, the party. It's going to be so magnificent. And then, oh, something's happening tomorrow night.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Mark died. Oh, no.
And I think I speak for everyone when I say, who the hell is Mark?
Mike, do you know who the hell Mark is?
I have the foggiest idea.
I don't know. Well, it can't be Mark Summers. He's very much alive.
Mark Summers is very much with us. Mark Spitz?
Mark Spitz? I don't know.
Maybe Mark Messier?
No, if it was Mark Messier, I would have known about it. Oh, I think, hold on a second. Speaking of Mark Messier, I think tonight is Henrik Lundqvist's jersey retirement. Yeah! Tonight is Henrik. Congrats, King Henrik, on getting your jersey retired by the Rangers tonight.
Golf clap? Golf clap.
So, Ted and everybody are like, wait, who's Mark?
Who's Mark?
No, I don't know.
Nobody knows who Mark is.
So Lori figures, I think we should go to the funeral, right? But tomorrow is the Super Bowl. So they don't know Mark, but hey, they can just send flowers and that'll be fine, right?
Yeah, don't tell that to Carl, who, for some reason in this episode, has a mustache.
Hey, I got a question before we move on. The funeral was going to be during the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Who has ever had a funeral on a Sunday, especially a Sunday evening? Just throwing that out there. I mean, I've been to a handful of funerals in my life. Never have I gone to one on Sunday. I mean, unless it's, you know, with all due respect to the Jewish faith, you know, they need to bury their dead before sundown. That's the only circumstance I could see them doing a funeral on a Sunday.
Well, it's New York City. What do you expect?
New York City?
New York City?
New York City?
New York City? Carl, by the way, played by Joe Nevis.
Okay. They're coming to the funeral, right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're totally coming to the funeral.
Oh, crap.
By the way, I should probably mention the mustache. NG, no good.
No.
No, horrible.
So fast forward to 4:30 on Sunday. Everybody's getting ready for the funeral. And Ted and Marshall are basically praying to the DVR gods that, well, the DVR works. And if it's anything like my DVR, it only works like about 75-80% of the time. And by the way, if this doesn't work, we will take you in the alley and destroy you with baseball bats.
Oh, but Borny, he's dressed... He's
not in a suit.
He's in normal clothes.
Normal people clothes.
Normal people clothes.
Barney's usually in a suit. Why is he wearing normal people clothes? And why did he call his bookie? You know what? We're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about the lack of a suit here. Suits are full of joy. They are the sartorial version of a baby's smile. Suits are for the living. That's why when he's going to die, he's going out of the world the same way he came in. Buck naked.
Yeah, open bar for the guys, open casket for the ladies. Love it.
He tries to give a high five. No one wants to take it except Marshall. It's like a low high five, like,
no.
I see what you did there.
Like, yeah. So anyway, we're at 5:45. We're at the funeral. We get to see everybody getting to see Mark. And oh, that Mark!
Oh, Mark! Ah, oh,
very sad.
And then they're all like, "Oh yeah, oh. Mark." Hmm. Oh, Lori's like such a waste. And Barney's like, yeah, I know, so young. And he's like mourning the suit. He's mourning the suit that Mark is wearing in the cast.
So in Barney's defense, it was a Dolce and Gabbana.
Dolce and Gabbana.
Yeah, I mean, that's money. Seriously. That's not like something you can just go to
That's
JC
not the
Penny.
Men's warehouse. I mean, come
yeah,
on.
That's not something you just go to JCPenney or Sears and buy off the rack. No.
That's not Joseph A. Bank where you could get like a handful of them for like $10.
$10? How about that?
Now only at Joseph A. Bank.
I think that's the first advertisement we've had on the podcast.
That very may well be a feature entry. I don't know.
Joseph A. Bank?
Have you seen those commercials?
Well, if we're going to have Joseph A. Bank, can we have the Men's Warehouse commercials too?
Yes. I think we could do one giant show about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Joseph A. Bank was great. Buy one shirt, get 14 free.
And you know, Men's Warehouse, let's be honest, Alan Coulter did it a lot better.
Alan said to me, if you have a little time tonight, Dave, I have something I would like to talk about. And, you know, Alan, we do have a little time. So go ahead, take it away, Alan. Whatever's on your mind, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Gomer. Appreciate that. You've all heard by now that the Men's Warehouse canned that bearded stooge, George Zimmer. After 3 decades, they finally realized that sex sells, and they quickly contacted Big Red. That's right, America. You're looking at the new face of Men's Warehouse. Here's a sneak preview. Enjoy.
On your wedding day, it's all about the bride, her dress, her flowers, her hair. But while everyone is looking at her, she'll be looking at me. And although there's a father of the bride, she'll be calling me Daddy. I guarantee it.
Remind me not to do that again.
Robin figures, okay, we can make an appearance at the open bar at the wake, and then we'll be back for the game. And guess what? They're at McLaren's, and they're just stuck there. They can't leave. It's 2:30 a.m.
It's 2:30 a.m. on a Monday morning. I'm pretty sure all of these people have to work.
So they're like, oh, I guess we're not going to find out who won the Super Bowl. Because remember, guys, it's 2007. Nobody has a smartphone.
Well, not true. Barney has a smartphone.
Well, not a smartphone.
He was literally talking to his bookie. He's looking at it right now.
Well, maybe his bookie texted him. Maybe he has those ESPN mobile services. Remember mobile ESPN?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That's the first time I think I've mentioned in like 15 years mobile ESPN. That'll be on a spinoff podcast. It was a thing on your cell phone. But Ted's like, okay, think of all the times we've had watching this game. And then we flash back to all the times that they all sat to watch the Super Bowl. So we're watching.
Ted's making a drinking game out of, well, doing anything.
Yeah, they're watching Super Bowl 37. And Ted's like, oh, this is so great. All of us watching the Super Bowl. This is special. Hey, let's do this every year. Please promise me. Lloyd Marshall like, okay, sure. And then we go the next year, Super Bowl 38. And Ted's like, oh, this is so great, this tradition watching the game together. How did it all start? And then, oh, no.
Hashtag start of darkness.
Hey, Barney, I bet you $20 that Casey misses this field goal.
I don't bet. Betting's for suckers.
We'll make it like a dollar or something, you know? Who cares? No big deal.
Fine.
Oh! See, there you go. He made it. You win.
Wait, this is mine? Just like that? God, that feels good. No, that feels really good. What else can we bet on?
Nothing. It's a halftime show.
Ugh, so lame. Nobody even pays attention. I mean, Janet Jackson, who cares?
And then Marshall wagers a dollar, and Barney's like, I don't bet. That's for losers. But it's a dollar. Who cares? Oh, he made the field goal. Barney gets a dollar. And Barney's like, wait, I made this money?
Hey, tell you what, Fred. We'll play for a nickel if you want to bet.
Oh, that feels good. Oh, that's great. Hey, can I bet on something else? And Marshall's like, no, the halftime show's coming up. And Lloyd's like, oh, these halftime shows are so lame. Janet Jackson? Who cares? And they all walk off like, who gives a crap? If only they knew. And then, of course, we go to the previous year of Super Bowl 40, which, remember, would take place in the continuity of Season 1, which means Robin is now part of the gang.
And Ted is trying, to the point where he's a tryhard, to hit that.
Yes. But now, hold on. What's Barney going to bet? Sea Arc 6 points for $500. Barney's gambling problem has gotten so insane over the last 2 years. But hold on.
And then Robin's like, Seahawks, but make it $4,000. Make it 4 points and make it $1,000.
That is ridiculous. What up? Robin's loving the commercial.
And Robin's basically co-opting all of the jokes from the last two Super Bowls.
Oh, monkey with the coconut bra? Cool. Oh, but you know what? We all know from watching these clips that they always watch the Super Bowl together. So they make a pact that tomorrow at 6, they'll go 18 hours without finding who won. Barry's like, that's impossible. Ted's like, I'm not going to lie. It's not going to be easy. But no TV, no internet, no newspapers, no nothing. Media blackout. But the tradition stays. And they're like, yeah, we're all in.
Yep. So is Barney.
And he wants a high five, but it's like, they're still...
Wake, bro.
Wake at 2:30 in the morning.
Solemn low five.
But okay. Older Ted says, we didn't know how hard it would be to watch the Super Bowl without finding out the result of the game. So Ted's at work doing his architect thing. Actually, he's at the apartment doing his architecture stuff. But you get the idea. And then Barney decides, oh, I'm going to chain myself to the radiator. Please swallow the key. What?
That, I think that was the basis of an episode of Night Court, but it wasn't a key to a radiator. It was a key to a theater that was going to be knocked down. And I think it was Bull who swallowed the key. So he had himself chained there, no key, because Bull devoured it.
So then we go to Robin, who's doing her news anchoring. And, of course, the media blackout would be hard on her because, duh.
She is the media.
She is the media. So how's this going to work?
She's literally next to the sports guy.
Well, at least two seats next to the sports guy, but she's like, oh, no. No, it's not time for sports. It's time for weather. But we just did the weather.
What's it doing out there, Lou?
And he's eating a donut.
Doing a donut. Eh. That's what it's doing.
And it's the same thing as 2 minutes ago. Oh.
Same donut. Anybody want a donut?
Have another donut! Have another donut!
Robin, it's time for sports. Okay. Over to you, Sid. Okay. And now we go to Marshall and Lily as Marshall's visiting Lily at her kindergarten class.
By the way, did you know that Marshall was double-jointed?
No, he did not know that.
And apparently more interesting than Sally's one-eyed goldfish.
Oh.
Sally looks like she's a psycho.
Oh, trust me. Kindergarten kids, no good.
As is evidenced by Doug here.
Doug!
He starts asking questions. A lot of questions. All the questions. Oh, and Doug also knows who won the Super Bowl. Marshall doesn't want to know. And he's like, how badly do you not want to know?
Oh God, he's blackmailing him.
What are they teaching kids nowadays in kindergarten? The art of blackmail and extortion. Good job.
This was still before the Obama restoring honor and honesty to the country phase.
Well, good thing this is not Virginia in 2022, am I right? Okay, so now we go back to Ted and Barney here. And Barney's like, please unlock me, Ted. I haven't gone this long without calling my bookie.
It's not like your mother, Barney.
No.
And now Ted is going to pick up the hot wings. How is he planning on getting in and out of a sports bar, without seeing coverage of the Super Bowl?
Well, he's got it all planned out.
Oh, no.
He placed duct tape on a pair of sunglasses so he can only see out of two tiny holes and constructed blinders out of an old Captain Crunch box. And to top it off, high-tech noise-reducing headphones that he bought when Marshall and Lily got back together, and they were doing it a lot. He calls it the Sensory Deprivator 5000. And so he goes into the bar, Ted, looking. Oh, my God.
And oh, my God, the stupid thing works.
It does. And oh, no, he's checking out this waitress.
Because, of course he is. Ted, you're in a committed relationship, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, but he's a man. Forgive him.
And then he's just shouting, hello, I'm Ted Mosby. I'm here to pick up the hot wings. And here is my hand. You'll find a generous tip. Please take the cash and put the wings in my hand, and I'll be on my way. And so they give him the wings. And he's like, thank you.
Now he just has to make it back to his apartment.
And so we go back to the news station where Robin is. And she put her ears the whole time during the sports report.
She has her very own sensory deprivator 5000, am I right?
Your index fingers. And so one of the staffers at the news department says, Robin, what's wrong? Well, I haven't watched the game yet, so please, for the rest of the newscast, there can't be any references to who won the game. Nothing. Change the prompter. No team names. Nothing. She's like, oh, that's nuts. I can't do that. Well, my friend Mark passed away this week. Oh, okay. There you go. Mark came through in a pinch.
Mark.
Meanwhile, back at the apartment, Maury's like, oh, wait. I can just... oh, what?
Oh, no.
What happened?
Apparently, when he handcuffed himself to the radiator, he handcuffed himself to the bit with an open end on it. So he could just flip up the handcuffs and come out. And 8 minutes and 23 seconds after going to the bathroom, Ted arrives.
Oh. You said the sensory temperature 5000 was stupid, but it worked. I couldn't see or hear anything that happened around me, right? And then he takes it off and is like, oh no, Barney's disappeared. Oh no. Where's the dipping sauce?
No.
Think about how horrible that is.
Yeah, you can't have hot wings without dipping sauce. Your mouth's going to be on fire after two.
Well, it's 2007. Nobody's seen hot ones.
True.
Okay, we go back to the kindergarten class. And Doug's still teasing Marshall about, I know who won the Super Bowl.
You said you'd stop if I ate all your crayons.
And Doug's
out.
No.
Oh, no.
Doug is in love with Miss Aldrin.
Ooh, saucy.
And Marshall's like, well, you can't have Miss Aldrin. She's mine. Oh, no. Doug dropped something. And he's like, who did this? And Doug's like...
he gave him the look that says, how bad do you not want to know the score?
And Doug's like, he should take a timeout. And Lloyd's like, well, grown-ups don't get timeouts. And Doug's like, well, when us break something, we get a timeout.
Uh-oh.
Marshall's in timeout, and he's just standing in a corner.
Doug's just looking at him like, yeah, what's up?
That's a poop-eating grin if I ever saw one.
I'm going to get me some Miss Aldrin later.
Okay, now we go back to Robin, and here's this news report on one of the stupid bets.
And after the Super Bowl, the mayor of the losing team city had to pay up, sending the mayor of the winning team city 15 pounds of a delicacy his or her city is famous for. Better fire up whatever type of grill, steamer, or fryer one might use to cook that delicacy, winning team's mayor.
And funny enough, there was like a bit on Pardon My Take earlier this week about the Bengals and Titans game, how the mayor of Cincinnati and the mayor of Nashville had a stupid bet on Twitter where they talked in a stupid way on Twitter, and PFT was like mocking how stupid it was.
It was a stupid bet on stupid Twitter that's stupid.
Yeah, it's like, hey, how about we have a friendly wager? Like, okay, well, if the Titans win, you have to wear a Bengals jersey. Well, if the Bengals win, you have to wear a Titans jersey. Ha ha ha. I guess the game's afoot. Ha ha ha. Talking in ways that like normal people would not ever talk.
Talking in ways that normal people would never even think of talking?
Yes. Well, let's get back to the kindergarten class. Doug's like, you'll do whatever I say. Hold your breath. Marshall's not going to hold his breath. The winning team was the... okay, here's how this is going to work. You're going to take me to 3 R-rated movies a week. And then Marshall got an idea according to Older Ted. It was one that he was not proud of, but in desperate times. And what does he do?
He squirts a juice pack over Doug's pants. Not just any place over Doug's pants. The place.
Now, wait a second. I want to know what type of juice it is. Because, I'm sorry, if it's like cranberry juice and it's red down there, that's like a medical emergency.
Yeah, that presents a different brand of problems.
Well, it's clearly a Capri Sun. We know that.
Okay, that's clear at least. Won't leave any sort of colored stains.
Well, somebody wet their pants. Who's everyone going to believe? Me, a grown-up third-year law student at Columbia. And you're just a little pants wetter. So, do you want to be able to quietly sneak off to the restroom or dry off? Or am I going to have to show something for show and tell today?
Ooh.
Ooh, he told him.
Damn, son.
And Doug's like, okay, you win. And I want my money back. And your snack pack.
Gotta have the pudding.
Okay. Oh,
it's called manners. I mean, come on.
It's called.
Okay. This is the part that's basically worth the price of admission alone here.
Okay. Let's play it.
Sir, who won the Super Bowl?
Sorry, I missed the game.
You missed the game. Who won the Super Bowl?
I don't really follow sports.
Oh, my God. Emmitt Smith. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
You gotta tell me, who won the Super Bowl?
The game was last night? You know, once you win two or three of those things, it's kind of like, eh.
But you're Emmitt Smith. You're a football player. It's Super Bowl Sunday. What could possibly be more important than football?
Dance, my friend. Dance.
No! It's true, though.
And as Barney is like yelling at the sky, no! Who's right behind him? Ted is right behind him in the Sensory Deprivator 5000.
That's the perfect visual right there. Barney with the epic no, and Ted walking back to the sports bar, waiting for his dipping sauce.
Walking like he's Jake the Snake Roberts at WrestleMania 7 in that. Okay.
I'd like to see that again, please.
That's why. He's like, he's walking like he's got his hands out like he's Frankenstein.
He's a zombie.
He's a walker.
Okay, so Ted goes back to the bar. And yeah, we once again see the point of view in the Sensory Deprivator 5000.
And there's... Oh,
he's checking out that waitress again. And he's like, hello, it's me again. Yeah, you forgot... You got the dipping sauce.
I didn't recognize you.
You forgot the dipping sauce. Oh, that's a giant dipping sauce.
That's a big tub of dipping sauce.
Oh, wait, did he try to give the a fish bump?
Yes.
And he's back.
Yes, he's dead.
He's missing the fist bump because he's in the... Okay, so it's 4 o'clock. They've all done the impossible. But in older Ted's words, this is when everything starts to go wrong. Uh-oh.
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 And let's end the day on a happy note. There's a new arrival at the Bronx Zoo. Trish Sanchez has the story. Trish Sanchez is about to say something.
But meanwhile, at the kindergarten class, Marshall and Lloyd are about to leave, but a janitor has a radio.
Uh-oh.
And then Barney's still trying to run around and then goes to the newsstand. He's like, oh, and someone at the bar took the cue ball. And it's just, and then meanwhile, oh no, Trish Sanchez is in honor of yesterday's big win. And then the radio's on, cranking up the Super Bowl. There is no more bitter than defeat than one to lose. Barney finds the paper, and then meanwhile, the bar, hey buddy, look out! The zoo decides to name the baby panda after Super Bowl champions, Robin. No! No! And Barney's tearing the newspaper like, no! then oh, Ted trips.
On a cue ball, no less.
The cue ball. And then, wait. Yes! Yes! The dipping sauce didn't go on him. He managed to procure the dipping sauce. That's so
Yay!
Great. Let's get one thing straight here. The baby panda at the zoo was named after the Super Bowl champions.
Right.
So you're telling me, now this is 2007.
Right.
That they named a panda at the zoo Indianapolis Colts or Colt. It makes sense if you named the baby panda Colt, I guess.
Well, it makes a lot more sense than naming the panda after the other team in the Super Bowl that year. You're going to call a panda Bear? Because those are Bears? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I guess not. But hey, at least Ted is happy he saved his dipping sauce.
Yay!
Yay! So, okay, they're going back. And they're all pretending, okay, yeah, we totally didn't find out.
It looks like they didn't. But Barney, apparently, not in on the bit.
Yeah, they're all pretending they didn't know who won. Barney's like, ah, feel free to start without me. And Barney's screaming, stupid, stupid, stupid. You screwed up, Barney. You screwed everything up. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Okay, let's watch the game. Now I got a question, guys. Why in God's name would Barney bet all his money on Rex Grossman and the Chicago Bears?
I'm just thinking to myself, they don't know what Barney knows, and that is that Robin would pay him, well, a lot?
I guess?
Well, you gotta remember, Chicago, the Bears, they were known for their defense. Rex Grossman, no. It's sort of like the 49ers this year. Defense is great. Not great people, mind you. Hey, Nick Bosa. But great players. And they have no offense because Jimmy G has done nothing so far this year.
Well, Deebo Samuel is basically their offense.
Yes. More or less. But again, if you look at the passing yards I'm talking about.
Deebo Samuel and George Kittle is basically the brunt of their offensive attack.
All right. So they're all like, you ruined the game because we all know who you betted on, Barney. Thanks, Barney. So, okay. There's no point in watching the game, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. But you know what?
What?
Commercials aren't ruined.
Oh, that is true. And the wings are still good. And the beer's still good.
Beer's very good. No, what the hell? Let's watch Barney lose some money.
So they're all telling everybody the crazy stories that happened to them during the day. And Barney's like, oh, I met Emmett Smith. And Ted's telling about the sensory deprivator 5000. And Lily's like, okay, whatever. Barney, tell the story about how you met Emmett Smith. And as older Ted says in the narration, the funny part was as unforgettable as the Super Bowl was that year. 23 years later, he still doesn't remember who won. He doesn't remember who even played. But what he remembers is that they drank beer, ate wings, and watched the Super Bowl together. And guess what, guys? Sometimes, even if you know how something's going to end, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy the ride. And also, guess what? They raised a glass to good old Mike. I mean, Matt. I mean, Mark. Guys, why'd I do that? Oh, well.
Apparently, not only did Barney lose the bet, he also lost every prop.
Penalty yardage, replay challenges, coin toss. What are the odds of losing the coin toss?
50-50, give or take.
Interceptions, field goals, total sacks. Whether or not there'd be a safety. And then Ted's like, screw this. I'm just going to put on the sensory deprivator 5000. And that's your episode.
Yep.
But hey, you know what? It's sad that it wasn't 2012 if Barney betted on whether a safety would be the first score of the game because he would have made 50 G's. Because remember, I don't know if you know this, in 2012, somebody bet $1,000 that the Giants would get the first score of Super Bowl 46 on a safety.
Brady, a lot of time before he gets hit deep downfield, and the pass is incomplete, and that's Justin Tuck who got there late and knocks him down. And now they're going to throw a flag because there's nobody conceivably for intentional grounding, even though the pass was still 40 yards downfield.
Intentional grounding, the ball.
Is he in the end zone?
That penalty results.
Yeah.
In a safety.
Yeah. Whoa. He's in the end zone.
Wild. Nobody in the middle of the field, so intentional grounding can be called even when the play is deep downfield. A safety. How about that?
Right.
And that person made 50 G's. Now think about that. 50 grand on the first score of the game being a safety, and you bet a grand. That's a lot of money.
That is indeed a lot of money.
It's a nice return on his investment.
Yeah.
Think of it as, in season 2 of How I Met Your Mother, there are still a lot of things that we would not yet know about Barney. Like how he was being paid a metric bleep ton of money from A, Robin, B, Goliath National Bank, and C, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Thank you, Yaya. The U.S. government.
Oh, and he ends up meeting Bob Barker that season.
But that's another story.
Oh, and by the way, since you mentioned Goliath National Bank, I'm going to play this.
You know, Lil, when times are tough, I like to remember the uplifting words of my favorite song. We'll be on your side when you need a friend. Through thick and thin, you can always depend on the world leaders in credit and banking. Goliath National Bank. Member FDIC.
Well, I can't disagree. They are the world leaders in credit and banking.
And they are member FDIC.
Member FDIC. But hey, Chico, this would not be the only How I Met Your Mother thing related in that Super Bowl.
Yep. Because earlier that week, in fact, the night before this episode aired, the actual game played. And during the game, there was an actual commercial with a crowd and Barney holding up a sign saying, "Hey ladies, CBS, call Barney Stinson." And that was an actual number, an actual 877 number that you would call and you'd get an actual message from Barney. We have that message.
Yes, and we're going to play it right now.
That, LeBron, is how you shoot a free throw. Hey, Barney Stinson speaking. A recording? No, this is really me. Anyway, glad you called, because you sound really special. Let's get to know each other. What are your hobbies? Oh my god, I like that too! Well, I'm really feeling a connection here. You know, I never do this, but what the heck? Let's meet up at McLaren's Bar at, oh, say, 3:45 a.m. on Monday, October 12, 2016. I can't wait to meet you. I love you.
Yeah. In fact,
that sounds like something Barney would do.
Yeah. In fact, Chico, you didn't even know that that actually happened.
I did know about the ad. I never called the number.
I called the number, and it was hilarious.
You called the number.
Yes. I think you got, like, a different date every time you called it.
Yeah.
So, apparently that date was on October 12, 2016. So, oh, at 3:45 a.m. Hey, the How I Met Your Mother Super Bowl episode. What can we say about it, Chico?
Had good wings, good beer, good times, good friends. The sensory deprivator 5000, as stupid as it looked, actually worked. But in an otherwise epic season for How I Met Your Mother, it was a thing on TV.
It was a glorious thing on TV.
It was a beautiful thing on TV.
That's right. And you know what? At least Ted saved that dipping sauce. Could have been a disaster.
Yeah, but can you imagine hot wings without dipping sauce? That's like Snap Crackle without the pop, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well.
Oh, not even talking about all the stains that would happen on a shirt and the grease and butter and all that that's in the sauce. Oh, it goes deeper than just we can't have wings without sauce. Oh, no. That's a catastrophe to clean up.
But speaking of catastrophes, you know, we have at least 300 of these bad boys on our website. It was a thing on TV.com.
Oh, yes.
Yep, we're talking about episodes. We're talking about minisodes. We're talking about live watches. We're talking about our miniseries of Into the Spidey Movieverse, which Greg and I did. And it's all there, and it was a thing on TV.com. And of course, all of the main episodes are wherever fine podcasts can be streamed, and also on YouTube, where, don't forget, you can like, you can't comment, but you can subscribe, and you can hit the notification bell so you can stay up to date on future installments, like one that actually aired after this episode of How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah! Yeah!
Yeah. It didn't last 9 seasons, though.
No, it didn't.
It got through a whole 9 episodes before it got really boring.
Yeah, pretty much. I was on episode 10 before we started recording the stream, and I think I can pretty much say, yeah, that's pretty much true.
And that is coming up next time, right here, on It Was a Thing on TV. For Mike, for Greg, I'm Chico. Thank you for listening. Please be kind to each other, and we will see you next time.
Row!
Okay, keep those cameras safely rolling, and honey, better prepare something Italian. I'm bringing Mr. DeBona home. Good night.